What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another exciting episode of the Wrestling With My Thoughts podcast. I am one third of the host, Mr. Ron G, here alongside my brother, Kurt. What's going on, Kurt? How you doing, man?
How you doing, brother? We got to get some new music on that Rodecast.
Yes, we do. What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just enjoying Easter Sunday. For those of you who do recognize and celebrate Easter, happy Easter. For those of you who do not, I hope you enjoy time with family today. I hope you took advantage of that, even though you may not celebrate the holiday. Gentlemen, how was your Sundays? Did you guys go to church this morning?
Sure did. Yeah. It was wonderful. And then my brother-in-law came over today. I barbecued. Family was over here. We had a great time.
Okay. Sure did. That food was banging. You did a great job, sir.
Cool.
Thank you, sir.
You and the wife, a.k.a. my big sister. Y'all, good job, man. I'm talking about, I'm driving home. I'm struggling going up the roads. I want to take a nap. So bad.
I had to.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you the funny thing about it is, so I didn't cook all this food, but me and my wife cooked all this food. I'm on the grill. She in the kitchen. So I made some macaroni. She made greens and baked beans. So I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm looking at everybody eating, and everybody is just dozing off.
Yeah, true story.
I can
everybody does or not.
I can believe it. We
and I'm just sitting back like, hey man, y'all need to take a nap before y'all leave.
Yeah, true story.
My family got together this afternoon to have dinner. Everybody had different schedules, so we waited to get together this afternoon. Somebody popped the top on a cold one.
Oh, you already know what time it is.
I hope that's not a cold 45. If it not. It bet not be. It bet not be, my brother.
But okay. we met, had fight. Dinner today, and we celebrated my mom's, her birthday's tomorrow, but she'll be 74 years old. I can't say enough about my mom. You know, she's been through a lot and has triumphed over a lot. And I was thankful when I could drive that I was able to do for her what she did for me all my life, take her around to doctor's appointments and grocery shopping, spend time with her, things of that nature. It's been a little difficult since I had to quit driving, but took Uber up there today, and then my stepmom showed up to pick up one of my nieces, so she brought me home. Didn't have to Uber home. Yay. But happy birthday, Mama. I'll definitely call you tomorrow. 74 years young. She's an April, well, hey, a
birthday.
Genuine April fool.
Hey.
Happy birthday.
So
happy birthday. I just celebrated mine on Friday, so
Oh yeah.
I'm just now winding down finally.
happy belated, my brother.
Appreciate it. No, we haven't. But man, look, when I tell you this year, like for my birthday, I truly had a ball. I actually went to work because my birthday fell on that. It's on the Friday before spring break. So, you know, I went on to work. That was a bit of a mixed bag, but you know, the kids sent me happy birthday in the cafeteria and stuff during lunch, and they threw a little mini party for me. So that was cool. And my kids are hilarious. That's all I'm gonna say. We ain't got time to talk about it. But yeah, man, this weekend I truly had a ball, and this is one of the few times I can say, cause a lot, to be honest, on my birthdays, a lot of times it'd be up and down. Sometimes I don't want to celebrate, and sometimes I do. And this year, I just said, look, man, I just want to go have some fun and just kick it with the people that I fuck with or whatever. And that's what I did. My coworkers took me out on Friday. And then yesterday, old friend of mine just hit me up out the blue because I wasn't going to go anywhere. She just hit me up out the blue, and I went out again last night, got back at 3 o'clock in the morning, went to sleep, took a shower, went to sleep, sat up like the Undertaker at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., got ready for church, went to church, and spent time with my family today, and it was just my birthday this year. I could truly say it was perfect. For me, it was perfect, so...
Man, well, happy birthday.
Big 30. Appreciate it. Big 34. I can't believe I'm 34 years old. Jesus Christ.
That's how I feel about being 48, man. I'm like,
hey.
You know, I personally don't think I look 48, and other people may disagree or whatever, but I don't think I do.
You don't. You don't.
And well, thank you. You don't look like you about to hit 50.
No, you don't.
But
I'll be 51 this year.
Man, you don't look it. You don't look it.
You turned 50. My bad.
Yeah, you don't look it. When I told folks that I was turning 34, women especially, that was the funny part. They like, there's no way. like I said, hey, look, I can truly say my birthday was perfect this year. For me, it was perfect. So
that's what it's all about, man.
It's great.
That's what it's all about. I saw you may have found yourself a new hobby.
Yeah. Look, man, I'm going to tell you, but you know what? I wasn't going to say nothing, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know, I ain't going to lie. I like me a good cigar. On occasion. And this was a special occasion. It was a birthday. I've been through a lot the last past year. So I'm like, you know what? I made it. And but how it happened was my coworker was like, hey, y'all, when we left the restaurant, we went to a Mexican restaurant, and we was like, hey, what y'all want to do? I'm like, nice deal, yo, let's keep going. So it's like, hey, it's a cigar bar around the corner. Let's go to the cigar bar. And so they took me there and, you know, they bought me a cigar or whatever. And, they bought me a cigar or whatever. And we just sat there, live band, and it's just grown folks in there. I'm just like, this is the shit. And, you know, we just sitting around, just chilling, talking shit or whatever, man, like we do. Dude, this is me. Me, just grown, this is grown folks and grown everything. Just over there. I'm just like, this is beautiful. All right. And so here we are. But you know, I do cigars on occasion. And you know, makes my birthday. I'm like, I think that's the one day of the year for everybody. I'm like, you do whatever the hell it is you want to do. That's your day. It's absolutely the one day you get. It's your day.
Absolutely. I've never been a smoker, and I would like to smoke a cigar, but I just can't get into it.
Yeah, man, look, the cool thing about a cigar is you don't inhale nothing. You just pull and blow it out. Yeah. That's it.
I don't know how, and I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, because but there's an art to it. The first couple times you do it, you're going to do it wrong. And you're going to feel like you're coughing up your damn lungs. But once you figure it out, and then you got to figure out what type of cut on the cigar that you like. You like full, half, or the little hole. In other words, the cut depends on how fast, you know, you smoke your cigar. And you just got to figure out which one worked for you. But, you know, whatever you do, don't inhale because you're king cell. Just don't inhale. You just kind of you blow it out and keep on going. And that's
I've done that before and I almost choked to death.
Yeah, because you didn't do it right.
Let me tell you.
Damn sure didn't do it right.
Listening to Brandon talk about the cigars. Kurt, you know how you feel when me and Brandon talk about video games or whatever? That's how I feel about cigars when Brandon's talking. Hey, like, what the hell is he talking about?
Hey, man, look, let me tell you something. It's some cool shit. And I didn't realize, because, you know, I posted the photo on social media, and, you know, most was like, I smoke cigars too. You know, my DMs lit up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got some that's like, hey, don't do it, of course, but okay. But I didn't know that so many people smoke cigars. I had no idea until I posted that post.
Oh, no, that's a big thing right there.
And that's how old girl hit me up the other night. She smoked them too.
I got a
and I was like, oh, cool. Spend
like thousands on cigars.
Yeah, it's cool. I wouldn't advise anybody to do that all the time, but like it's really cool. It's a vibe for real, and I'm just like, this is me because I'm kind of a classy dude. You know what I'm saying? Like this is me. It's me all day long. So
that's their hobby. They are connoisseurs of cigars.
Yeah.
And they spend a lot of money on
it. Oh yeah. And the stronger the better. And it's like, hey, you ain't trying to get into Mary or anything like that, man. Go get you a good cigar. Get you a good cigar and some scotch. Some good scotch.
You know you gotta have that yak.
Yeah. You cannot have a cigar without some yak.
That's what I've always. I mean, I wouldn't be
afraid. You gotta get some good yak.
That's what I've heard people do.
Yeah, because it balances you out. You gotta get you some good. You gotta have you some good. You gotta get him some good cognac, some good scotch, bourbon, whatever it is you like. Just you don't need but a little bit. Get you a good cigar, man. Your night is, you gonna have a good night. So, there you have it.
Daniel's son has entered the live chat and is asked to join us. Daniel, we normally don't let people join us right off the rip, but give us a minute and we'll let you know when we can get you in. So, all right, I was checking, so making sure it wasn't somebody else. We may have a special guest tonight. Adam reached out to me and let me know that he wouldn't mind jumping on tonight to talk about Russell. Well, we haven't announced to the people yet. Tonight, everybody, we're going to be watching WrestleMania, the OG, the inaugural WrestleMania from start to finish. And it's going to be a two-part episode. So when we start, when we finally get into it or whatever, we're going to go an hour on this part, part one of the episode. And then we're going to take a 15-minute break. And we'll come back with the second hour to finish out the WrestleMania show. We wanted to be able to do the whole thing because today, the exact day, March 31st, 1985, 39 years ago, today was the very first WrestleMania. So we definitely want to get you guys ready. So go ahead and fire up your Peacock and get set up for WrestleMania 1, and when we get ready to start the show, we'll let you know, we'll count you down, and then we'll do time stamp checks and all of that, try to get everybody on the same page. Here at the top of the show, I want to send my condolences out to the Shivani family. If you guys listen to what happened with Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson, it is one of the funniest podcasts you will ever hear, whether you're a wrestling fan or not. I think you will get a legit laugh out of these two doing their show. But we've heard Tony talk about his dog, Bug, for the entirety of that show. Tony loves that dog. And so much so that I think it was last year, maybe year before last, Tony Schiavone got his first tattoo, and it was of his dog. So Tony has a tattoo of as he says it, Biggity Bug, or Conrad says it, Biggity Bug, on him. And Bug passed away today. So some of you may think it's silly to get upset over a pet. And for those people, I say you're nuts, because if you've had a pet for any length of time, they become a part of the family, and it fucking hurts when they pass. So to Tony Schiavone and the entire Schiavone family, condolences on the loss of Bug. Now with that bit of downer news, I was about to ask something. Now I completely forgot it. I blanked here on the air. Sorry about that, fellas. Kurt, what do you remember before we get into it? Let's go back 39 years, because me and you can actually go back 39 years. what do you remember just as the lead up to WrestleMania 1 and the hype surrounding it? I didn't see it when it happened. I saw it, I probably saw WrestleMania 1 like a year or two after it actually happened, when I could get my hands on the VHS tape. But what did you think about it as a kid seeing all this take place?
I thought it was the greatest shit ever.
Yeah, at that point, yes. You guys have heard me on this show before, both Kurt and Brandon. And those of you guys listening to us, you've heard me before talk about Hogan. And I haven't been the biggest Hogan supporter ever. But I'll tell you what, when we get to the main event, I got some things to say that will kind of contradict some things I've said before about Hogan. But as a kid, same thing, Kurt. I was like, this shit's great. This shit is awesome. Kurt and I had never seen anything like that. Go ahead, Kurt.
But the thing about it is, what made me think it was great is because, you know, Rocky III was a few years before that. And then just seeing Mr. T wrestling, that was like, what was going on here?
Yeah.
And as a kid, you don't know. And that just made everything just.
Yes. And
just 1,000 times better than what you thought it would be. And it was just awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, A-Team was at its height at that point in time. So it's it was awesome to see B.A. Baracus on WWF and interacting with Hogan. They did an interview. Hogan did an interview. Hogan and Mr. T did an interview on, I don't know what show it was, but it was hosted by Richard Belzer, I think. And he was on one of these Law and Order shows or something. He was on one of these police shows.
That was Munch. Yeah, that's Munch.
And he was asked, or he asked about one of the holds, or asked about wrestling holds in general, or something like that. I don't remember the entire story, but Hogan puts him in a rear chin lock, which is basically a submission hold, a choke hold. And Hogan at the time was jacked to the gills and I guess squeezed too much and actually made Richard Belzer pass out. And Hogan didn't know it when he let go of him. Belzer hit the floor and hit the floor hard, busted his head. They went to commercial, and then after the show, Belzer sues Hogan and Mr. T and WWF for everything that happened. But so there was a little bit of controversy leading up to WrestleMania. But seeing all that, man, like, I never saw any of my favorite wrestling stars on Late Night with David Letterman or MTV at the time, all this stuff. So it was unlike anything we had seen before. Now, we'd seen some Starcades and things like that, but nothing in the mainstream like this is. Would you agree, Kurt?
No, absolutely. Not to the magnitude of what WrestleMania was. And it's funny to know that the NWA Jim Crockett actually paid money to get the WrestleMania going. The $2 million that he yes. paid to get their NWA back on the Superstation is what they used to finance WrestleMania.
Yep. Yep. And folks, if you don't know that story,
look at Black Sunday.
Yeah. Go to YouTube and look up Black Sunday. Vince McMahon ended up buying the television slot, the 605 television slot, that Georgia Championship Wrestling held. And, it was a disaster. Folks here in the Southeast and folks that got TBS on cable at the time, they were calling Turner and were like, where the fuck is NWA? This is, you know, clown shit here. We want our wrestling back. And enough people made enough noise that Jim Crockett Promotions, rather, ended up purchasing the time slot back from Vince. And as Kurt just said, that is what funded WrestleMania. So Vince ought to thank Jim Crockett. So I saw a Facebook post earlier this week where Junkyard Dog, and I can't remember who else it was on TBS before WrestleMania promoting the event.
Yeah, I saw that. I actually saw that clip earlier this morning.
Man, it's crazy, right?
They're with Gorilla Monsoon, and that was like the last.
That was the last one. Set.
Yep. I said, wow. I was just kind of looking cross-eyed a little bit. I'm like, this is. Ugh.
Yeah, it was.
Yep, it was on. It was on Twitter this morning. X or Twitter. It's Twitter to me, damn it.
Yeah,
it's going to always be Twitter.
It's still right. Twitter to me, damn it.
God, I'm that boy sitting in the bleachers crying. It's still real to me, damn it. Anyway.
But yeah, man, that was wild. The Vince on TBS didn't last, but what, Kurt, was it a couple of months or less than?
I think it was less than that.
Yeah, because I think he purchased in April or May. And by June, I think, Crockett had the slot back because nobody wanted to see that WWF shit here in the Southeast. And as a kid at the time, I can say that I was drawn to the popularity of Hulk Hogan, the cartoon, the cereal, all of that stuff. I never had one of the famous ice cream bars that CM Punk talked about, but they had those going on. So WWF was gearing itself not only to the traditional wrestling fan, but they were pushing heavy to get the kids. And it was so different from what the NWA was doing at the time, or any of the territories were doing at the time. And it just didn't go over well in this part of the country. It really didn't. And so Crockett financed WrestleMania. Before we get into it, because we're about 20 minutes into the show, I'll give a few facts here for WrestleMania. As we said, it took place today, March 31st, back in 1985, 39 years ago. It was held at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Madison Square Garden has hosted, I think, 3 WrestleManias. So it has the distinction of hosting the most WrestleManias, I believe. The attendance is listed as 19,121. So it was a sellout there at Madison Square Garden. And when we look at this, you're going to see that sellout looks tremendous. We talked about the space between the ring and the barricade before. Like, it's pretty much non-existent on this show. But WrestleMania 1, we talked about how Crockett financed WrestleMania by purchasing that time back from Vince for, what'd you say, Kurt, $2
million? $2 million, yes.
All right. Return on investment, the ROI for WrestleMania 1, reportedly $12 million. So he financed that thing, and supposedly WrestleMania grossed $12 million. The commentators for the show ringside were Jesse the Body Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon. Lord Alfred Hayes was doing backstage commentary in between matches. Mean Gene Okerlund handled the interviews backstage. And because from what I read, there was a no-show, a celebrity no-show. It didn't say who it was, but there was a celebrity no-show who was going to do the national anthem, and Okerlund ended up doing the national anthem, and it is the most non-traditional national anthem you've ever heard.
Besides the one Marvin Gaye did in the NBA Finals,
man, Marvin Gaye tried to have people having sex in the aisles.
That's the smoothest damn national anthem I've ever heard in my life.
I'm like, how in the hell do you change the national anthem to a damn R&B love song?
I'm gonna go listen to that shit when the damn show's over. But Brandon, that shit was so goddamn cold.
When you see, or when you hear, rather, Okerlund singing, you'll see what I mean.
I know what you. I've actually went back and watched WrestleMania 1 maybe a couple days before we even talked about doing it.
Okay, yeah, I watched it again yesterday just so everything would be fresh in my mind and I could jot down some thoughts and things like that.
And and this is the first time I seen Gene Okerlund. I was like, he's on the national anthem.
And folks, okay. I'm gonna say something that may piss a few folks off, but that's never stopped me before. If those of you out there listening know who Kenneth Copeland is, do me a favor, pay attention when you see Liberace in WrestleMania 1. Tell me he don't look like Kenneth Copeland, just with flashier dress and I think more hair. Kurt, Brandon, right now, while you guys have a chance, Google Kenneth Copeland so that when we see this, you're going to be like, holy shit. So what we're going to do, folks, we're going to get ready to start the first half of the show by watching an hour.
Wait,
you say you look like who?
Kenneth Copeland.
The televangelist.
Yes.
He looks like who? He looks like?
Say what?
Liberace.
Yes.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, I see the resemblance.
I know you were watching WrestleMania.
It's the hair. It's all in the hair.
It's the hair. Face.
It's the hair.
I'm telling you.
I don't see that.
I'm telling you, man. To me, he does. So what we're going to do, we're going to get started on the first half of the show. Like I said, we're going to do an hour of WrestleMania. Then we're going to take a 15-minute break and come back with part two of the show. To end up WrestleMania, we'll be giving our commentary on the way through, and I'm sure we're going to have a few laughs. All right. So what I'm going to do, like we normally do, I'm going to give the cue of 1, 2, 3. And on three, I'm going to hit play. Now, I'm sure we're going to have a damn commercial and all that.
I hope not.
y'all at 1:30?
Yeah, 1:30.
All right, that's where I'm at. This should be a shot in the ring. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to press one.
Hold on.
Yeah. Because I just kind of fucked that up myself. So. Oh, man. And, well, I'll say this when it shows up on the screen. But WrestleMania 1. And on March 31st, 1985, I was 9 years old. So I was still a young punk. Ooh. And it was real to me, damn it.
I was about to turn 12.
I was -5.
That's what I was about to say. You were negative.
I was 5 years away.
Oh, man.
I was 5 years away from
y'all
coming into
y'all
the world.
Countdown because I'm ready.
All right,
I'm ready now.
All right, what I'm going to do, folks, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3. On three, I'm hitting play. And throughout the show, we'll make sure we're all on the same time count like we've done the last few weeks. So if you're ready, 1, 2, 3. All right.
Look at that! Ain't no fancy ass graphics. Just straight. You can tell they did that off of. They did that off of Mac.
Yeah, look at Jesse.
Hey, Jesse the Body Ventura was named Craig Sager before Craig Sager.
Yeah, absolutely. They're showing the WrestleMania graphic. They're showing the match.
So Brandon, you might. I know you look at it. Look at the faint. Look at the faint.
Look at him with that comb over.
Now, I'm not where you guys are yet. I started from the very beginning looking at the montage of matches before the show.
That's right. Hello, sir. We told you to fast forward that to 1:30.
You told us to fast forward that to 1:30.
That's why I told Ron. I said, we told you to fast forward all that to 1:30. But Brandon, let's pause it and let Ron catch up.
How about this? How about we all just go back to the beginning?
Damn rules, damn it.
And we see.
I do what I want to do.
Cause you know you gotta hurry up. Cause my TV go on that little display. All my, I gotta get that off. I'm all my little old pictures and shit.
1:13:14.
I'm where Gene is singing. So I'm
yeah, it's at 2:30. All right.
Yeah. So I'll skip ahead then.
So come on, hurry up before I see one of my exes on the screen again.
All right. 2:16:17:18:19.
I gotta take that off.
All right. And 24, 25, 26,
27,
28, 29,
30.
So 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
Ready?
Man.
Go ahead.
There he goes.
Jane the Saint.
Just doing
the thing, man. And he got, you know, you see, he read it off the card. He don't even know the damn song.
Hey, what's the time count y'all got?
I got
307.
I'm at 256.
I'm at 303.
We're at 307.
All right, I'm at 307.
Hold on. 5, 6. All right, now I'm at 307.
Everybody, Gene was like, "Fuck this! Y'all doing this with me?"
Hey, man, look, Gene, man, shout out to me, Gene, man.
Gene stepped up.
Oh, yeah, OG.
I was about to say something before I forgot. It'll come back to me.
Now, what gets me
Mean Gene's OG.
What gets me is...
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Back in the day, I don't know if y'all remember, but Jesse, him and Hulk Hogan had a feud back in the day going on.
I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah. And it was what, right when Hulk Hogan had the cartoon.
And what gets me is they had Cyndi Lauper in the house. Could they not have asked her to do the stuff? So, well, oh, there he is, deer in headlights.
There you go. Lord, there you go. There you go. Lord Afro Hayes with this ugly ass tuxedo on.
it is 1985, Kurt.
Yeah,
I look like that's look that's
at the,
the
look Sanford. At the vest though. The vest don't that's come down in a slant. It's like yeah, but a U.
That's the San Francisco.
But look at the color.
That's the San Francisco 49ers alternate jersey
Tito.
Right there.
Tito's like Tito.
Very, very underrated wrestler. Tito Santana.
Tito. Arriba.
Yeah. There you go, Brandon. There you go.
Arriba. How many Gene get to the back so fast? Ran?
That's a good ass question, Brandon.
He got back there fast as hell.
These are pre-tapes.
Oh.
Yeah, he did the arena.
Look at the locker room. Yeah. Look at that locker room. Arriba. Look at that locker room.
Who the fuck is that executioner? Who is this right?
Goddamn Buddy Rose up under a mask.
Wow.
And from what I look how crooked it is too.
Yeah.
Buddy
Rose was man important.
And I read too that Tito Santana wasn't too happy about being first on the card. Excuse me, first on the card. Nor was he happy about wrestling Buddy Rogers under a mask.
Buddy Rose.
I'm sorry.
Because he is he the Intercontinental Champion right now, Tito?
No.
Who got the title right
I
now?
I love that jacket.
Greg?
I'm trying to think who has it right now.
Greg Valentine?
Yes. No? I don't know. I can't remember.
How many executioners did the WWF have?
I know of two for sure.
Damn.
Him and Bam Bam. Terry Gordy, Bam Bam. And look, like the house lights are down, the lights are on the ring. This is wrestling as I remember it as a young kid. Collar and elbow tie up. Look how loose those ropes are. But it'll really show when you see somebody try to do a top rope move how loose and damn near flimsy these ropes are.
Feel like they're about to fall over.
And like there's no space. I told you there's like no space between the barricade and the ring.
I mean, that's pretty cool though. Fans like right there, and then you got all them, look at all the photographers on the apron, because you don't really see that no more.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like that. I like where the fans are like right there up on the ring. And then when they do these wide shots here at Madison Square Garden, the setup they did for Madison Square Garden is phenomenal. When they do a wide shot, it literally looks like the fans are sitting at the ring apron that close. I still like it, just amazes me these guys called this shit on the fly.
Yeah, Greg Valentine was the champ, Intercontinental Champion at this time.
Okay, I couldn't remember. Because, yeah, this is before him and Beefcake teamed up. just standing there. One's wondering when the other one's going to start.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to come after me.
And I just realized how dark it is in there.
Yeah. And I like that.
I love it. I love it. I hate all this light and shit.
Yes,
right
man.
Now. I hate that. I hate it.
Wrestling is too bright now. Because everything is HD, everything. Which is great for those of us watching at home, watching the action, but like, cut down the arena lights like you used to. I love that shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think Monday Night Raw did it a little bit. I like how they kind of went and did everything. Like, they kind of darkened it up a little bit. I liked it. I would love them to go back to the red ropes, though.
The first hour of Raw this week is going to be commercial-free.
Yeah.
I heard that.
But look, they in competition with, man. Hey, look, LSU and I were going to be on. So I'm like, this is the women, ladies and gentlemen. So
yeah, they going to lose a lot of audience on that game.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
That's the biggest game of the week right there.
Yeah, that's bigger than the men's game.
Yeah.
Tito just slung him into the ropes and just, or into the corner and just stood there.
I don't know what to do.
And just a lazy backdrop. Now watch how it looks when he gets up there. Look at that. Oh, those ropes are so damn flimsy.
They flimsy as hell.
I still don't think they're as bad as I want to say Continental back in the day.
That was terrible.
Like, if you were just jumping up and down on the mat in Continental, the ropes would shake.
Hey, man, Jesse was goddamn a good-ass commentator.
Oh, yeah. I love Jesse.
Jesse was a good commentator.
Yes, he was.
Love him.
Cross body. With the forearm.
What?
Woo!
I must be about 5 seconds behind, y'all.
Yeah, because Tito just slapped the figure four on him.
Yeah, you doing it. Yeah, he doing it now, so I ain't far.
Now, folks, keep in mind, you'll see the executioner hit the mat several times. This is before the days of tap-outs. There were no tap-outs. You had to signal for the bell like he just did. You have to single for the bell to be wrong or physically say that you gave up.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there were no tap outs back in the day.
Yeah, I love how they cut the lights on and then lured the bike in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So the faint and get it. I love that. I love it. The faint.
Rest in peace, Howard Finkel.
Man, thank man.
Look how flames those
OG.
He almost fell back.
So, yeah, he sure did. Damn. Why were the ropes so flimsy back then like this?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, I don't remember that. And, like, I don't, maybe it was everybody at the time, but I don't remember that for everybody at the time. I definitely remember, like I said, I think it was Continental. Their ropes were flimsy as hell.
Yeah.
But I don't remember everybody else's being like that.
But I do want to say something, Ron. Last week when you were talking about the ring being low. I remember back in the day, Georgia Championship Wrestling ring was low like that too. You can just step up and you was in the ring.
Hmm.
You know what?
Yep.
Now that you got me thinking about that studio, you're right.
Then you just step in and you was in the ring.
Wow.
They changed it later on, but back in the day, I was like, why the damn ring so low?
Yeah, wasn't any running to the ring and sliding in under the bottom rope and
no,
days.
All you had to do was just step in. But hey, man, one of the most underrated territories ever, Georgia Championship Wrestling. Everybody came through there.
These damn
everybody.
Commercials.
They just suck. And they hit goddamn tuxedo suck as well.
I'm still on commercial.
1985.
I'm still on commercial. Yeah, 7 seconds.
To his lordship.
Lord,
he's just standing so awkward, man. And he's looking around like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. What am I supposed to do?
Look at that red hair.
And then later on.
Do y'all remember him? Brandon. Do you remember him? I need to go back.
Hold on.
I'm at 13 minutes.
Hold on.
Y'all see ST Jones now?
Yeah, I'm at 13.7, 8, 9.
Okay, all right. I'm right there with you. I'm at 13.7 now.
Okay.
Special Delivery Jones.
Yeah, you got to go back.
And I love that name. The first time I got introduced to him back in the day, WWF used to do WrestleMania highlights during WrestleMania season. And so they showed the highlight of this match. I'm not going to give it away. But it was like, you know, SD Jones and King Kong Bundy. God almighty.
Exactly.
It took me years to figure out what SD stood for. It was Special Delivery. I was like, that's cold as hell, boy.
One of the all-time great jobbers.
I think he also did
Special Delivery
Jones at one time.
Yeah. Because I know... But you know what, though? The cool thing is, when he passed away, they gave him a graphic. I don't know. That's dope. I think he's in the Hall of Fame, too.
Really?
I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
Now, check this out.
Look at Jimmy Hart.
I'll be right back. Hold on one second.
Okay, all right.
Look at that old ESPN logo.
Yeah, sir. That's classic.
They say this is a 9-second match.
Mm-hmm.
This match is actually nearly 30 seconds long, but they claim it was a 9-second victory.
Yeah. That was the little highlight thing that they did. They were like, it's the shortest match in WrestleMania history. 9 seconds. Damn, Jimmy Hart. Look at Jimmy Hart.
Look at that jacket.
Hell yeah. Hey, you know what? Shit, they got right there. I will rock that now. I will rock that right now. King Kong Bundy. Woo-wee. And next year, he'll be in the main event.
Dragon, thank you for joining us. We're watching WrestleMania 1.
King Kong Bundy. No facial hair, no nothing. Just all head. That's a humongous head. Jesus.
Here comes the avalanche. Oh, no. Yep.
Yeah, this is definitely not 9 seconds long.
Right.
Definitely not 9 seconds long. Whoever counted that don't know how to count time. That's about 30 seconds. Oh, here we go.
I'm surprised you didn't say, give me five.
Look at Jimmy Hart.
Budweiser, that old Budweiser logo in the background.
Yeah, they need to bring that back. There's a clip of, you ever seen that game where Earl Campbell ran all over the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football?
Mm-hmm.
And every time he run, all you see is those old Marlboro and Budweiser signs and all that. So when I drew it. I still have the drawing. And I drew it, and I made sure I put that in there. I actually drew that. Because I was like, that's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. I love those.
Mr. Enigma, thank you for joining us. We're watching WrestleMania 1. Currently, we just finished a 9-second, 30-second match.
Quote-unquote 9 seconds. It was about 45 seconds.
We just watched the longest 9 seconds in match, eternity.
Right.
Or in history, rather.
Maybe a 9 and 2 Mississippis.
So, this is...
Who's the manager?
Say what?
Who's his manager? Who the other black guy in the ring with Special Delivery?
They'll have to go back. I can't... Or... Not go back, but they'll have to pan out because I didn't see him.
Wow. Look at Jimmy Hart. He still got the same hair.
Look at that. It looks like the fans are sitting literally at ringside.
Yeah.
Now, check this out. What I want y'all to pay attention to, when Gene is doing these interviews, he'll start with one guy, Maniac, Matt Bourne. He starts out with one guy, then shifts to the other. They come right in. Wouldn't you think if these two had an issue with one another, they would, like, tussle right there? Because watch how quickly Steamboat comes in. All right, he's out. And next up, I'm like, wait a minute. If I got an issue with a guy, I'm not just going to stand here waiting to get interviewed. I'm going to pop his ass.
Yeah. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yes, sir, Black Dragon. Paul Heyman is a great heel. He is a great speaker. Great man.
One of the greatest heels of all time.
Matt Brown.
Okay, just to give y'all a time stamp, I'm at 1801. Let's
see. All right, stay right there real quick. All right, I'm at 1801 now.
Well, I'm at
1824, so I fall. All
right, I'm at 1815, 16.
Wait a minute, hold on.
17.
I'm at 1827.
All right, I'll let you know when I get there.
Stop yours, because I'm way behind.
I stopped.
All right, I stopped at 1827.
All right, I'm at 15, 16, 17.
I got a big fat 18, picture of Howard Finkel. 20,
21.
With the mic in his hand.
22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Kurt, all right, I'm at 27.
Kurt, all right. I'm going to count it down to three. One, two, three. Look at that microphone, man.
Matt Bourne.
Yep. They just did the future doing about him.
The future doing.
Look, Steamboat.
Look great. Looks great.
I guarantee you, if Steamboat had his shirt off, he's not too far off of being that same size. I guarantee you he's still, maybe not that size, but I guarantee you he's still cut or lean.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. So, Black Dragon Radio, in honor of WrestleMania 40, we decided to rewind it all the way back to the very first one, which actually happened on this day. Yep. March 31st, 1985.
39 years,
which
ago,
is
today.
I cannot believe that we're rolling up on 40 years since then, because I remember at one point in time, it's like, it's 20 years ago. Well, that's as far back as I can go.
Yep. But,
shit, imagine.
No, it was 10 years ago, which is as far back as I can go. I remember.
We saw this happen.
Yeah, but yeah,
damn,
ladies and gentlemen, I was negative 5 years old. Negative, baby. Anyway.
And something I want to point out that we're going to see throughout the night. We're going to see, there's nothing new under the sun. We're going to see people in the ring when they shouldn't be. We're going to see people fighting on the outside of the ring. We're going to see some comedy. We're gonna see a lot of comedy. We're gonna see some comedy. We're gonna see all that stuff that still happens today. But here's the reason we complain, or I'll speak for myself. Here's the reason I complain about AEW. They do it in a way that makes wrestling look stupid. It makes people roll their eyes at wrestling. These guys were doing it, and people still bought into it. We got to mimic and Matt Moore. The atomic drop. When's the last time you saw an atomic drop in a match?
Been a while.
I cannot remember.
Got him in the nose.
Inverted atomic drop.
Yep.
Whoop. High knee.
And everybody wearing those classic wrestling boots. There's nobody with kick pads on. Nobody wearing tennis shoes in the ring. That's right,
straight
folks.
Boots.
That's right, folks. I'm from Atlanta. I said tennis shoes.
Call them sneak. We call them kicks up here. Whoa.
Yeah, I'm from old school, man. They are tennis shoes. T-E-N-N-I shoes.
Or sneakers. Back in the Nickelodeon sneakers.
Side headlock. And to me, like, for the folks that claim this shit's boring, it's not. Like, it fits into what they're doing, because this was presented at the time as legitimate sport.
Right.
Yeah.
So
with no acrobatics like that. Besides, if you wanted to find acrobatics, you had to like probably go look at some stuff in Mexico and stuff like that, which was hard to find at the time. So. Ooh,
that
belly to belly.
That
that's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite moves, actually. That belly to belly. That's one of my favorite moves.
That was.
I'm not sure if y'all know, but do y'all know how the Road Warriors got started?
No.
It was out of necessity somehow.
Because Matt Bourne got in trouble, because him and Aaron Anderson were tag team partners. He got in trouble, and they had to fight. Ole fired him, and he found the Road Warriors to take his spot, and that's how the Road Warriors got started.
Wow.
Yeah, because
thanks, Matt Bourne.
Yeah, they were like, let's put these two muscle heads together, see what happens.
Hey, all of them sitting somewhere in another dimension, probably arguing about that right now. If it wasn't for me,
you guys would have been nothing.
You wouldn't even got discovered.
I saw you when you first showed up as the Road Warrior.
Right. If it wasn't for me, if it wasn't for me,
that's how they got put together.
Wearing no Daisy Dukes in the ring.
Right. Yeah, sir. Hey, look, bro, man, look, the Road Warrior is one of my favorite tech teams of all time.
And yes,
one of my personal favorites. I loved it. I love them.
Yes, Black Dragon, I agree with you. It was definitely entertaining at the time.
Yes. Yeah, very talented.
But see, I mean, just the way these guys are throwing punches. Like, he swung at Steamboat's head.
It just made sense.
Yeah, he didn't
swing. It's like it's a real fight.
He didn't swing above his head. Back then, it was like, look, you swing for his head. If he gets hit, that's his fault, not yours.
Right. Dragon, crossbody. One, two, three.
Then at least you hooked the leg.
Yep.
And then he would go on 2 years later to have one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time.
Yep.
That series of matches with him and Ric Flair.
The best. The best. The
match with him and Randy Savage 2 years later.
They may have messed up there with slow motion because it looked like he was supposed to shoulder block him. I mean, he just pushed him. Oh, man.
Didn't matter.
That's all she wrote, folks.
But a crossbody would get you a 1, 2, and a 3. Now a crossbody would get you a neck. It gets you less than one.
Yeah, Heenan, Black Dragon said that Heenan was funny on commentary with Monsoon. I agree. That commentary.
Yes, it was.
Absolutely.
He was hilarious. Bobby Heenan was hilarious.
All day.
Like, I feel like Bobby Heenan should have been a stand-up comedian.
Here we go again.
He's goddamn commercial.
Yes.
Why does it look like the damn Matrix? Are y'all seeing the WrestleMania commercial or y'all got something else?
Nah, I'm looking at
Bray Wyatt.
No, I got the WrestleMania 40. It looked like the damn Matrix.
We all three have something different. I'm watching a Peloton commercial.
I'm looking at Lord Alfred Hayes right now.
I said, they go little Alfred in that damn suit.
And now I'm looking
walking towards me.
I'm looking at WWE women's wrestlers talking about Women's History Month, I think it is.
Oh, shit. We guess we need to pause near.
Yeah, please. Cause I'm.
We got 25 minutes and 30 seconds.
All right. I'm still in a commercial.
Look at that damn suit.
I'm at 334.
All right. I'm at 2458. Where y'all at?
I'm at 334.
334?
Yeah, I'm kind of confused now, Kurt.
I'm at 25:31 because I had to.
Hold on.
Yeah. Right, I'm 34.
31. Hold on. All right. I'm at 25:31 now.
With 25:37.
All right.
All right.
God.
Brandon, when I count down three, you and I will hit play. 1, 2, 3.
All right.
Y'all 33,
34, 35, 36, 37. I'm at 37 now.
Now he's holding the WrestleMania program.
Yeah. I wonder who still has that. Somebody still has that. That's probably worth a lot of money.
I'm sure somebody probably does.
Probably is right now.
That was worth a lot of money.
Boy, he was a little bit of a disappointment.
Sorry. Right.
Who was that?
David Sammartino.
David Sammartino. Terrible. And I think Bruno was ready to go overrated. Born, he was born as hell.
And he brings in
boring as hell.
Luscious. Is that the
Luscious Johnny Valentine and Brutus Barber?
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
No. Brutus.
Brutus
fucking Barber Beefcake. Or, oh man.
Or as Gorilla Monsoon would say, Brunei. Brunei.
The former Ed Boulder to Hulk's Terry Boulder.
Yeah.
Wow. I heard they weren't friends no more.
I can believe it. Ain't no telling what happened.
I heard they weren't friends no more. They had stopped being friends for a long time, and then, oh shit, my bad. My fault.
Fucking Johnny Valentine.
Tag teams in the '80s were my favorite, says Black Dragon. I agree, man. Tag teams in the '80s were just something different.
They had some dope tag teams, man. Even though I was negative something, but ain't coming on to the '90s. But
look at that.
I'm gonna make and watch enough of this stuff to know. Like they had some legitimate tag teams, man. Like, a lot of them were pretty damn cool.
Run into the ring. Ain't got on that damn sweater.
I know it's hot.
You're going ringside.
With a sweater. I know it's hot. Yeah, Madison Square Garden. I've been to Madison Square Garden one time to see a Knicks game, man. It's a vibe. So I wanna go see wrestling in Madison Square Garden. But it's a vibe. Like it really is.
Yeah, Dexter is the guy that my best friend, Kurt knows him too, but he's been able to catch, I want to say, a couple of Knicks games at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
I went to New York, but I didn't get a chance to go to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Look, the only reason why I went to Madison Square Garden was because the Hawks were playing the Knicks and they were playing them in Atlanta instead of in Brooklyn.
Nice.
And then we ended up going to the Knicks played the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they used to be rivals back in the day anyway, so it was a good game. Fans are loyal. They were vocal and loyal, and I was like, I told my brother, I said, I gotta come see wrestling here.
Kurt, back in the day, did you have any of those LJN wrestling figures?
No, sir.
I had Brutus Beefcake and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I didn't have any of those figures.
They suck because you couldn't move them. they were just stuck in that one pose. So
they were basically statues.
Yeah. You had to get
miniature statues
when you had your matches at home.
Yeah. They were miniature statues.
Like Dragon Apple.
Look at that damn. Do they still have that microphone? Appreciate it. I wonder if they still have that microphone.
Probably not.
Yeah, that shit was probably going the night after it happened.
Well, they used it a bunch of more times, but
yeah, David San Martino, he was terrible. Terrible.
It didn't help that he was so short either.
Yeah.
That's at a time where short guys, they just weren't getting any love.
No.
Not real love anyway. Man, could you imagine? Like and I'm just going to say.
All these like 5'7", 5'8".
Something like that. Could you imagine being Brutus Beefcake at this time? I bet you Brutus the Barber Beefcake was beating pussy off with a stick.
God damn.
Like, man, shit. The shit Jim Cornette talks about getting. I know if Cornette was getting it like that, these guys were getting it.
There's no way Cornette was getting it like that.
Man, please. I guarantee.
There's no way Cornette was getting it like that.
I guarantee. He's, according to him, he was.
Jim Cornette. Lord Jesus.
I'm just saying.
There's no way Cornette was getting it like that.
Sweet Stan was.
Sweet Stan, I believe.
Sweet Stan.
Cornette. Shit. Maybe they messed with Cornette. It was for a payday.
Hey, look at, like, I wonder if, and I'm not even trying to be like mean towards Bruno, but I wonder if Bruno got David on the gas as well.
Good question. Well, he is short and stocky.
Yep.
He's been your perfect fullback.
Like Ivan Putski.
Right. He's been your perfect fullback. I'm dead for rap. Hey, man, look. Hey, I don't know if you remember a guy named Mike Allstott. He used to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hell yeah.
Man, he's the only okay. So, I know this is off subject, but I knew that the Falcons and the Bucks were rivals, but man, I used to mess with that Tampa Bay team back in the day. I love them. Yeah, Warren Sapp, Mike Allstott, Derrick Brooks, Simeon Rice, Brad Johnson, Sean King, all those guys, McCardell, Keyshawn Johnson, Joe Drew, Vicious.
Hey, man, you know one
that team was awesome.
One name in sports.
Dexter Jackson.
That I've never understood.
What are y'all talking about?
Why somebody.
Luger McFarlane.
Why somebody put this name on their kid? Arian.
What? Arian?
Yes, Arian Foster.
Man, shit. That's some Greek stuff. Greek God stuff.
Well, yeah, it was also what Hitler was pushing for. So,
oh God. Well, anyway, back to the match. Bruno got glitter on his boots or something?
He probably does. That was part of his thing before he became the barber.
Hey, but look, they had this game called Legends of WrestleMania, and I used to play with Bruno. Brutus the Barber BK a lot. Because I just wanted to listen to the music. I enjoyed his music.
Hey, man. And
came out with the scissors.
Let me ask this. Have y'all been paying attention to the Twitter war between Tony Khan and Eric Bischoff?
Nope.
Eric Bischoff has been eating Tony's ass. Like, he's been roasting him.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all.
Because Tony said something about Bischoff and what's his name shutting down Strictly Business. And Bischoff hit him back with television viewership numbers or something like that. I'm like, Bischoff is just roasting his ass. Like, David had nothing, man. There was no charisma.
It ain't nothing, because I'm bored of shit watching this man. Yeah,
like, he's just... Here's the thing, and I just kind of thought about this. He's wrestling like his dad did, and that shit wasn't flying in 1985.
No, and his daddy was born to say it was with.
Luscious Johnny. Handsome Jimmy, baby. Oh, man. I could sit and listen to that man do promos all day long. They make no sense, but they're entertaining as hell. And I find myself alone right now. Oh, wait, wrong one. Never mind, I'll give up. Quality shit here, people. Oh, man.
I don't understand how they had Bruno be the champion for 8 years straight. What the fuck?
I realized I came in, you know, when he was basically done. But even the old stuff I watched, I never saw the appeal of Bruno.
Him and Larry Zbyszko are probably the two most boring as fucking wrestlers I've ever seen in my life.
real quick, I'm going to cut in here, folks. We are actually past the hour mark, but we're also in the middle of a match. So at the conclusion of the David Sammartino Brutus Beefcake match, we're gonna take a pause. We're gonna end part one of this show. So Black Dragon, we will be back once this match is over. We're gonna take a 15-minute break and then come back with part two of the show to finish watching WrestleMania. So I just wanted to make sure I let everybody know that. Man, I got this little contraption that holds my phone that I added to my setup here. Now I don't have to look down at my phone. I can keep a look at the screen and then see my phone at the same time. And it helps because I always try to make sure my screen don't fade to black while we're doing the shows. Like there's nothing here. And Beefcake already wasn't the world's greatest wrestler. But now it's a match between him and Sammartino, and it's just like a snooze fest. Man. This is the let me up match. This is where everybody needs to get up, go to the concession stand, go take a piss. Kirk, did they put you to sleep?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, this is just a bad match. And I mean bad as in bad. I guess they just thought the name alone would work for David. I don't know. But yeah, Black Dragon, there were. That's one of the things I guess I noticed rewatching WrestleMania was that the card itself wasn't that great. It was built around one match. But just the spectacle of it is, I think, what makes most people look at this event and go, wow. Yes, it does. Like, it's just like, if this were today, fans would be chanting boring.
Yeah, I want to start chanting boring right now in my damn living room.
This match sucks. Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah, because if you want...
Right. If you 1985, so...
If you want Beefcake to have a good match, you're going to have to put him with somebody that can work. But the sad thing about that is, he's carrying the match right now.
You're going to have to put him in the ring with God.
And I don't even remember. Of course, this is 85, so I probably didn't see a whole lot of WWF at the time, living here in Georgia. But I don't even remember the build-up to this match. He had to jump up to kick him in the stomach, man.
So I've been gone for all of 3 minutes. Four, maybe. And this match is still going.
I can tell you now, you've not missed a damn thing.
I know. Yeah. I'm just like, yo. I done had a whole conversation with my roommate and everything. And this is
come on, Griff. Just count the goddamn three, man.
I didn't even have to rush to get back.
Right. I said earlier that this is a match to get up, go get your popcorn.
Go take a pee-pee. Yeah,
go to the bathroom, take a piss.
Yeah, go take a pee. Yeah, this is the bathroom match.
All this to get Bruno and Johnny Valentine.
Well, okay, well, that's the end of the match. All right.
Or Jimmy. No, Johnny. Damn. Hello, Glaze.
The match is over. But I will say, man, Bruno, a lot of them fans, they mess with Bruno. They mess with Bruno. But this son, man, this son is, I don't know.
He sucked.
A double disqualification.
But that's hard to follow in your dad's footsteps. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they never should have tried it. He not.
No.
Bruno was fucking boring as fuck, but he never should have tried it.
Nah, but for the time that Bruno came along, whatever, big old dude from Italy and all that, and okay. But for the time.
For 8 fucking years straight. Like,
that's a long time. And you got folks talking about Roman Reigns going to break that record. I'm like, no, he's not.
Hell no.
No.
He got a better shot at break. If he still remains champion, he's going to break Hogan's record.
But let's just all think about this shit. All right,
I'm gonna let this get to 42:30. I'm at 20.
The man was champion for 8 fucking years straight.
That's a long time.
He was boring as fuck. People might have died watching his wrestling. What the fuck?
Yeah. That's a long time.
A long
time. I like the stuff he did with Zbysko, though, but that's a long time.
You about to get Kurt riled up.
But that's a long... 8 years?
I agree.
Two of the most.
That's a long time.
From 1963 to 1971.
He was Lord have mercy. That's a long time, man.
Then after that, from 1972 to 1977.
That's a long. That's a long time.
He was champion. 16 boring fucking years.
That is a long time.
But.
I don't think nobody need to be the champion that the Fabulous Moolah was the women's champion for like 50 years. Y'all know that, right?
Yeah.
But that's a long time. You don't need to be the champion that long.
Hey, no. What the fuck?
The one thing I'll say, I agree with both of you. Absolutely 100%. But he was packing them in, so they kept the belt on him.
But look, even now, I'm like, oh, all right, Roman, it's time to drop that belt, dog. Like, it's a long time.
Different era, man. Different era.
But you know what? But you know what, though? Like, the cool thing with Roman Reigns right now is that nobody's seen a championship reign this long. Because I'm like, if he retains next Sunday, basically, he's going to break Hogan's record before he lose. He's going to break Hogan's record.
Yeah, because Hogan had it for 4.
Yeah. He's going to break Hogan record, and I think they're going to let it go. But
all right,
8 years?
All right, do we need to pause this right here?
Yeah, I'm at 42:30. That's where I paused at.
Well, I'm at 21. Uh-oh. Oh, God. I just went all the way back to the beginning. So I gotta go
Miko,
all the way
thank
back.
You for joining us. But you caught us when we're about to do a
I'm at 43:38.
All right, I'll
43:38.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, 43:38 will be the timestamp that we come back with. It is currently, let's just say at 10:15. We're gonna come back at 10:30 with part 2 of the show, and we're gonna finish up watching WrestleMania. Black Dragon, please come back with us. We appreciate you staying with us this whole hour for the first half. So we'll be back at 22. People ain't doing military time. What the hell am I thinking? 10:30.
I'm about to go warm up.
Kurt understands hey. Completely. We'll be back at 10:30. So join us. And gentlemen, I will send you to the link for part 2 of the program.
Cool. Right. In the meantime, I'm about to go warm up some of these leftovers. Be right back. Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all.
All right.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? We are back for part 2 of this episode, waiting on Kurt and Brandon to join me here. And hopefully, those of you that were listening before will rejoin us for the show. Our timestamp, where we're going to start from, is 43 minutes, and 38 seconds. That's 43 minutes and 38 seconds. And Hill Club, man, welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have you for part two, man. I'm really glad you joined us, especially with what you told me earlier. I think this will be a distraction and, you know, hopefully give you a few laughs and, yeah, but I'm really glad you joined us, man. I'm really glad. So, Hill Club, you weren't with us for part one, but, we're watching WrestleMania, the very first one. And, we watched all the way through to the, we just finished up with the David Sammartino and Brutus Beefcake match. And we're going to start part two of this episode off at the 43 minute and 38 second mark of the show. I don't know what match is coming up next. And I just watched this, 2 days ago, I think. So we had some fun with episode one. Black Dragon's back in the building. Thanks for joining us, man. Thank you for coming back. We appreciate that. Fellas, I just want to ask. I know Hill Club is already a member of the... Excuse me. Oh, sorry about that. I'm trying not to burp in your ears. But Hill Club's already a member of the Facebook group, the Wrestling With My Thoughts podcast Facebook group. Black Dragon, if you're not... We would appreciate it if you would head on over to Facebook and join, search up the, we have a Facebook page and a Facebook, search up the Wrestling With My Thoughts podcast, join the group, join the page. We'd love to have your feedback in the group. We try to make it as interactive as possible. Hill Club is always very active on that page. And we're also on Instagram. Let me make sure I give you the right Instagram name. Bear with me just 1 second. And Brandon is back in the building.
Howdy.
Oh, man. Damn it. There we go. All right. So on Instagram, we're at WWMT_podcast. Again, that's WWMT_podcast on Instagram. We definitely want interaction on those social media platforms. We get it here, obviously, in the live chat, and we appreciate it so, so very much. But we would love that interaction on social media as well. Trying to think of anything else. We don't have a TikTok page. We need to look at getting a X Twitter, Twitter X, whatever.
Twitter, damn it.
Yeah.
It will always be Twitter to me, damn it.
So, Brandon, Kurt, and myself are going to have a conversation here probably within the next month or so about getting our video together. We don't want to present it right this second because we don't have everything mastered, if you will, quite yet. So none of us are experts in this field. We will readily admit that, but we want to do everything organically through the three of us with help, input, and whatnot. But we definitely want to incorporate video to the show. So that's coming this year, this season, I should say.
We're going to cross our fingers on that.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna but you know what? Hey, you know what? It'll come when it come. When it's time, it will definitely happen. We will be on video and y'all can see what we actually look like.
Some people say that I look like Ryan Gosling.
What?
Yeah, that went over like a ton of bricks. No, I don't look like Ryan Gosling.
Nah. Do you want to be a liability at cornerback?
Hey man, did you see how I tagged you and Kurt in the Instagram post? I tagged Hogan. I tagged Hogan as Kurt and you as Mr. T.
Wow.
When in all actuality, if we stand side by side, you would be Hogan and Kurt would be Mr. T.
Absolutely. So I'm like, that's backwards. I'm Hogan. I'm definitely Hogan. What's up, Kip? What's up, Hill Club? And no, I did not hear nothing about the Yankees trading for the Falcons' Kirk Cousins' brother. I heard nothing. But I won't keep up with stuff like this. I just get out on the field and throw the baseball and throw the football and impress me. That's all I care about.
So, real quick before Kirk joins us, what do you think about Kirk Cousins?
What do I think about him?
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I mean, you know, he's all right. I think that I think he's a very smart quarterback. I think that he's very competitive. And I think that he does what he has to do to put his teams in position to win. Unfortunately, has that worked out already? Has that worked out all the time? No. But he has been on some very good and competitive and entertaining teams that I've seen since he was in Washington and Minnesota. So, hey, man, when they signed him, I'm like, hey, you know what? They're trying to win right now. So, all right, cool. Like, that been bad to me. Now, some people say, well, he ain't won a big game. He ain't done this. He ain't done that. But at the end of the day, like, you got to put a good enough team around your quarterback. And I don't think that he is the blame for anything, to be honest with you. The players got to get out there and execute on the field. Y'all can't expect quarterbacks to perform miracle jobs all the time. And I think that that's something that I hate about sports. Like, whoever is in baseball is the closer, football is the quarterback, basketball is the either the point guard or the point guard, shooting guard, or the big man. You cannot depend on those folks to just perform miracles every single time they come out. Like, you got to put the pieces around them in order for them to succeed. So, we'll see. I'm not, people saying we're going to Super Bowl, people saying we're going to playoffs and all this, that, and third. I'm just like, I'm not going to wish for nothing until we get on the field. Just let me know, and we'll talk about it when it's week 8 in the season, and then we'll talk about it again at the end of the season, and we'll go from there, because I'm not expecting anything. I just want to sit back. We play a lot of good popular teams this year, and I just want to go and just have a good time and drink and be merry. That's all I want to do.
All right. Southern Fried Championship Wrestling has joined us here. Thank you for joining us, SFCW, which is a great local promotion here in Georgia. They run shows 2 times a month, I believe it is. And great, great promotion. They put on a great show. And we happen to know and have talked to, had on the show before, the, what would I do, play-by-play? The color guy? He is the play-by-play color guy, I guess. Next show is
Friday. Oh, man.
That is awesome.
Oh, man. Dang it. Because I live a lot closer to Monroe than what I thought. I'm going to get to a show. Because I see him all the time. I'm like, I'm going to get to a show. When I just got a weekend, I don't have nothing to do. I'm getting to a show. I'm
going to talk to a mutual friend that Adam and I have. And see if we can make that 420 show. 420, bro.
Yeah, let me go ahead and just put that on the calendar.
Yeah, and
got to. That's perfect. It's a Saturday. That's perfect. That is perfect.
Brandon,
gotta get there.
Brandon, can you do me a favor? I reached out to Kurt through our podcast chat, but I hadn't heard anything back from him. Would you mind privately reaching out to him, see if everything's okay?
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you. You're not the only white man. Well, yeah, that's true. I would be included in that. I don't even know what I was trying to say, so I'm going to stop right now. All right. He did. Come on. Folks, we've invited Adam to join us here, for WrestleMania 1. And there he is. Adam, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good, good. Brandon stepped away for just a second to reach out to Kurt, get him back on. Folks who may not know and may not have heard the previous episode that Adam was on, Adam is very involved with Southern Fried Championship Wrestling. He has a great wealth of background on wrestling, has great opinions, great insight. He works directly with some of the people in the business. And that includes some people that are on TV Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. glad you joined us, Adam. How have you been, man?
Hey, man, doing all right. Just a easy weekend here, so just chilling. So you got to have one of those every now and then. So. Oh, yeah. So did you guys I apologize for missing the earlier part of the show. Did you guys finish the WrestleMania?
No. We're doing a two-parter because it's a two-hour pay-per-view. So
okay.
We're actually – this is part two. If you've got Peacock opened up, the timestamp that we're paused on right now is 43 minutes and 38 seconds.
Woo! Y'all got a lot left to go.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. All right, we'll pull that up.
We got 2 hours of time to deal with on this end, so that'll work.
Okay, good deal. Yep, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, man, everything's good. I our next show coming up 420. You're just talking about folks being on TV. We was really cool to watch Carly Bravo and Sean Dean on Saturday night wrestling FTR. Carly Bravo, a former Southern Fried Classics champion with us, and great to see him having some success on TV.
Man, I saw him. So. I saw him at a show I went to in Thomaston.
Okay, yeah, probably so.
Yeah, real good guy, man. Looks great, good in the ring.
Marine.
And I missed that match, but yeah, I've seen him a couple of times actually.
Yeah, man, they had a good showing the other night. He's been tearing it up on Ring of Honor. And they brought them in as part of this this tag team tournament. So it was good to see them go far, and they had a very competitive match against FTR, which was super cool. So,
speaking of Ring of Honor, I think it's a foregone conclusion that Mark Briscoe is going to win that title simply because of the day it's on and the history behind that. When is that show, by the way?
Is that WrestleMania weekend? Why do I think that that's Why do I think that's Friday or Saturday for some reason?
Okay.
April 5th, maybe.
Okay. All right.
Because they usually do the – well, in past years, they've done Supercard of Honor on the Saturday before WrestleMania, because I saw that show in Orlando when they had WrestleMania down there a few years ago.
Okay.
But I think that's probably going to be a Friday night show now. But I think it's April 5th. So did you guys stop at the beginning of the JYD match? Is that where you guys were at, the JYD Valentine?
I think that's the next match.
Okay.
Where I'm at right now at 43:38, it's just a wide shot of the ring, which looks
I got
amazing,
you.
By the way. I'll tell you something funny that I told the guys on the pregame call. I indulged in some adult activities when I watched WrestleMania 1 the other day.
Oh, and my Lord.
When I saw the main event, and no, it's actually a good thing. When I watched the main event, like, I had, like, a whole new experience, and I viewed that match in a whole different way now. I've never been the biggest – well, I shouldn't say I've never been the biggest Hogan fan. I loved Hogan when I was a kid. But I haven't always been the biggest Hogan fan since I've been old enough to know what's going on. But just watching that match, man, at that era of Hogan, not just Hogan, but Orndorff, Piper, even Mr. T. We'll talk about that more when we get to that match. But to be able to have 19,000 people eating out of the palm of your hand, it's just a spectacle to behold, in my opinion.
Yeah, and to really And it shows to the simplicity of what they have to do sometimes. It's not necessarily about, you know, you can hear Cornette and you hear old timers kind of bitch and complain about flippy shit and doing all kinds of these dumb high risk moves. And that's part of what the business is now, where it's just gotten to that point. But you don't have to do a whole lot to make people really enjoy something. They have to be invested emotionally in what's going on. And that's where a lot of that stuff is. You don't necessarily see it so much in this tag match, because it quite honestly looks like Rick Knox is reffing the match with as much gaga as is going on in the match, with everybody interfering and everybody in and out of the ring and all in this main event. But you can go watch and Ric Flair used to do it a lot in his hour matches, where they would throw maybe 5 or 10 punches the first 30 minutes of the match. Yeah. And you don't have to do an incredible amount to get people invested in it emotionally. Yeah. You know, guys taking a break or cowarding out of a lockup, you know, those sort of things like that, that are kind of time stallers at this point with what we have to watch. But it's little simple things like that where you don't have to do an incredible amount to get people invested in what goes on. Just go back and look at Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania in Toronto. And it's an incredible match where they really didn't do a whole lot. But, I mean, it's a fantastic match once they got rolling and needed to get the heavy stuff in. You know, it was what it needed to be, but it didn't have to be that for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the match. You know, so it didn't have to be a whole lot of high risk moves or high spots. You know, it could just be emotion. Yeah. And so that's one of the cool things about being able to control a crowd is you a lot of times don't have to do that type of stuff to get people's reactions.
Yeah, like you said, for the first, you know, 20, 30 minutes of that match, there's not a whole lot of, as you said, big stuff going on.
I'd probably guess that it was 10 minutes before they even locked up.
Yeah. Because
just as a raw guess. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
And that's the thing I love. I said something earlier before in the first part of the episode that I'm very critical of AEW. And I say that as a guy who's never set foot, professionally speaking, I have been in the wrestling ring before, but has never wrestled, has never worked in the business, and I know what I know from behind the scenes because of the things that are exposed nowadays. So I fully admit all of that, but I'm critical of AEW for a lot of the things that they do, and it's not so much that they do a lot that is not done today. For instance, like you said, the gaga in this main event we're going to be seeing. It's there, but in this main event, and that's one of the things that I loved about watching it, they found a way to get that stuff involved in the match to where it wasn't just a spot for spot's sake. You know, what's the thing? I got to get my shit in, brother.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
What we're going to do, folks, I'm being serious at the moment. This is no joke. Not exposing anybody's business. We can't find Kurt. I sincerely hope everything's okay. But I'm not sure. I can't get in touch with him. Brandon is his brother-in-law. Hasn't been able to get in touch with him. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give it until the 10:51 mark. That gives us about a minute now. And then we'll go ahead and start the show so that we don't have people up all hours of the night. So,
Hey, what's the time set you have, Ron?
I'm at 43:38. So,
because I got to keep mine going because, you know, it likes the thing likes to go into that rest mode stuff. I need to change that. I'm like, give me a couple of minutes, for God's sakes.
So,
you know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, like, don't, the 30 seconds? Like, come on, man.
All right.
Yeah, just let me pause and go to the bathroom or something. You know, you don't got to reset.
Without me coming back and my TV is off. Like,
mm-hmm.
All right. right.
Jesus.
Black Dragon and Hill Club, if you guys have your peacock up and ready to go, make sure you're 43-38. And Brendan.
Say 43-38, right?
Yes, sir. 43-38.
Okay.
Let me know when you're ready and we'll get squared away to go. Mine does that. They're talking about going into rest mode.
All right, I'm there.
Okay. Mine does that on my TV, but on my laptop, it doesn't seem to do that. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
folks. Yeah, I'm watching mine from the TV, so, you know, and Amazon, you know, they're sensitive, so.
Nick B., thank you for joining us. We're doing part two of this episode. We're watching WrestleMania 1 on the Peacock. And if you want to join us, we're going to start at 43 minutes and 38 seconds. We just finished watching a very not-so-exciting match between David Sammartino and Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake. So,
That was pre-Barber.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're correct. You're correct.
He was just doing the stripper gimmick. Yeah, not good.
he was a Chippendales guy.
There you go.
All right. Yep. So, Brandon, are you ready to start? Like, we don't know where Kurt is, so I don't want to hold up.
Hey, I'm ready.
All right. So, I'm gonna count 1, 2, 3, and on the count of 3, we're gonna hit play. So 1, 2, 3. That is a beautiful, beautiful wide shot of that Madison Square Garden crowd. I love seeing an arena like that, where it looks like everybody is right there on top of the ring. That just looks awesome to me.
It's just an odd lighting choice because there's so much, you know, the risers and everything in the arena too are part of that, and that's missing from this shot. Yeah. But they probably don't want to cut the entire arena lights on just for how they light the show. So
yeah, it looked like they just had one set on the ring, and then I think they wanted to just get it close to the crowd. Look, they go Lord Alfred in that damn suit.
Lord Alfred, during this is like it seems like he just learned to speak English.
Yes.
It was super wild. I don't know who's in his ear talking. It just seems like the most awkward live. He's not just alive. Yeah.
You gotta get in there with good shit, pal.
Yeah. Well, he's not even, Vince isn't even on, because you can see Vince at different times in the back, during the show. So he's not there. He's kind of in the back. They really don't have a gorilla position at this point, but he's not. You know, he's back in the hallway kind of directing people. You'll see him at the end of the show after the Mr. T. He's there when Mr. T and Hulk make their entrance. They take him out of the locker room and walk back. So you'll see Vince kind of hanging out in the hallway.
I didn't even catch that. I told the guys earlier.
He's the boy.
I told the guys earlier that it's funny watching these backstage pre-tapes because it's like these guys have a beef and they're about to go wrestle, but they're standing there waiting for their cue to be interviewed next.
Yeah, it's really weird that they're right next to each other. Yeah, I agree with you there. The only one, I don't think that they didn't do this for the main event, I don't believe. Mainly because I don't think I don't think that Mr. T was there yet. So here comes the lesson in charisma, folks.
Wait a minute, so all this stuff about Mr. T, I'm sorry, but all this stuff about Mr. T, like almost like not doing the match is true.
Yeah, so what I've heard is that he showed up with a couple of carloads of people that they wanted to get into the arena. And you'll see if you watch after the match, and honestly before the match during their entrance, there's a whole bunch of folks in the hallway there that are just hanging out waiting for Mr. T. And I think that's like his family and stuff that he brought to the show with him. And instead of like asking for tickets or something, they just rolled up in some cars and wanted to drive into the building and get in. And so the security people weren't letting all these extra people in because of just how crazy this event was. But when you go back and when you see the post match, I don't know how long I'm going to stay on with you guys tonight, honestly, but, okay. If you go back and see the post match, you'll see, that there's extra people back there that weren't there before. So
man, I have a thought, but I'm gonna keep it to myself. Yeah. But that's just some that's golly. But hey, let's move on.
Man, I just rewatched the Junkyard Dog Dark Side.
Oh wow.
And it's just dude, I had forgotten how bad he looked in the last phase.
Yeah, I mean he wasn't in good shape, that's for sure. But I mean, as far as charisma, even going back to Mid South, dude, just as over as all could get out. You know, listen to this crowd reacting to him in this matchup is just wild.
Yeah, I can remember seeing him when I was a kid on TBS.
And yeah,
like everybody loved Junkyard Dog, and when that music hit, the crowd went crazy.
Yeah.
I remember they showed that clip when he made. I want to say that was like one of his last TV appearances when he went to ECW. Mm-hmm. And it like he had a piece of tissue on the side of his nose or his mouth, and I'm like, is anybody gonna tell him to get this kind of wipe that off? Anybody? He got this man on live pay per view television.
He has some napkin on his face, huh?
Yeah, like with the piece of napkin on his face, and I'm like, can somebody please get that off his face?
Mm-hmm.
For God's sakes, because he looked crazy.
And man, what I heard on Dark Side, and I don't even think I caught this the first time because it shocked me when I heard it this time, but JYD's version of why he left Mid-South the way he did said that he was in the bathroom in one of the stalls, and Bill Watts and Grizzly Smith came in the bathroom, and we're talking about JYD getting the offer from New York. Bill Watts said something that was allegedly, I want to say that, but said something that was very racist, and that's what made JYD just leave without notice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's JYD's version of the story. And honestly, some of the things that we've heard, like on record, of Bill Watts saying, I can absolutely see him saying what JYD claims he said. But unfortunately, there's no one to corroborate this story.
Yeah, and you think that JYD would be the kind of guy to come out of the bath of the stall and punch him? You know, that's kind of, you know, but who knows? Maybe he was owed a payoff or something. But
I don't know. I think from what I was kind of hearing or whatever, I think that JYD was really, it's probably more of disappointment because I think he kind of looked at Bill Watts as like more than just his boss, you know. So I think he was kind of like, dang, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I'm not like I'm mad, but I'm not really mad enough to go and just like choke the shit out of you right now, right? It's like I'm really disappointed because I didn't expect that out of you.
And that's probably smart on his part, honestly, because at that point, if he goes and attacks Bill Watts, that WWF deal might not come about. You know, they might have a second thought, you know, just thinking from...
It messed up his money.
Yeah, from his perspective and what people would think about him as being... They'd label him a hothead or whatever, and he wouldn't get booked later on, you know, so... But, yeah, we talked about not doing a whole lot. This is a match that does that as well. But Valentine's one of the most underrated workers in the history of the business, man.
Absolutely
flat out go with anybody.
Absolutely. He did it for a long time.
I think the reason that happened, in my opinion, is not necessarily his total WWF run, but that's where a lot of people saw him on a large scale, and he's for the most part, was on the downside of his career. But I agree. Especially looking at his old stuff, that dog collar match with Piper that everybody knows about. It's, I mean,
yeah.
Very, very good worker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt. And I thought something that I had never seen before, I don't know that I've even seen it since, on the lockup when JYD had the wrist lock on him right at the beginning of the matchup. He punched him right in the armpit. Never seen that before. And I don't know if that was just a miscue on Dog's part or if it was a legitimate thing to do, but I had never seen that before. He had the wrist lock, and he extended it, and he opened up those ribs, and it looked like you punched him right in the armpit, which is, especially on the left side of your chest, that's right where your heart is, man. That'll get you going good. That's a good spot to punch somebody at.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody get punched in the armpit in real life.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of fights.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of fights. And I've...
Look who entered the panel. Kurt, y'all right? Oh, did we get hung up on?
No.
I said, all right. Kurt was like, fuck y'all, I'm out.
No, he's actually talking, but we can't hear anything.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't stop the show now.
Get
oh. Nope.
Well, we'll get it right.
All right.
Eric Fisher right. Muted his mic.
There you go.
Hey, I asked the guys here earlier, Adam, have you seen the Twitter thing going on between Bischoff and Tony Khan?
I've seen a little bit of it here and there. It's really hard to look at anything wrestling-wise on Facebook because it's just so much clickbait that shows up. I'm so sick of ads being on there more than anything else.
Absolutely.
And, it's just, I haven't really followed too much of what's going on, but who knows? I mean, Bischoff right to a certain extent, but, you know.
Yeah, and I knew the moment I saw Tony Khan's tweet, I knew exactly what Bischoff, almost word for word, I knew what Bischoff was going, because it's what Bischoff does.
Yeah, watch this bump by Jimmy Hart here. Hang on. I saw this earlier tonight. I was watching it. This is what was amazing. Yo, there are no
pads. Oh, he back his head for real. Oh, he sure did.
They show a replay of it later. He tucked his chin. He did. Took a good bump. Oh, okay. He hit his back, man. Holy shit.
But he had me fooled. I'm about because the way he just fell like that. It's over.
Oh, yeah. But I mean that's like, yeah, he tucked his chin on that one, but that was wild that he that's damn. Just straight concrete out but there.
It really looked like it hurt.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure it did.
And that's the great. Yeah. It looked like it hurt because I'm like, damn, like I'm legitimately concerned. Like he's just smacked the back of his head on the back of that concrete.
And props to Tito Santana for getting dressed that quick.
Oh, damn,
he had his feet on the rope.
Yep.
I got my church clothes on to prove it.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, it's like, dude, you got cleaned up and dressed.
Yeah, he's unshowered, fixed his
hair. He ironed his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, look at
probably put some cologne on.
This is a weird match finish, too. I don't understand this. I know that you want to protect the hammer here with this pinfall, but for Tito to come out. And I know that Tito's going after the title after this, but it just seemed weird that this was happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
A count out victory just seems kind of odd.
There's that old IC belt.
Yeah.
And Kurt said his system shut down, ladies and gentlemen, so we don't know. He's still here. Among us, but we can't hear him. So
I keep hearing a thump, and it's not on the back of JYD's tights.
I was about to say, maybe he's that's his tribute to JYD.
Oh, you got to be kidding me! I got a smoke alarm battery that's going dead now. That's cool.
Hey, don't worry. Hey, look, Adam, that was me. That was me a few weeks ago.
Well, I mean, what's strange is that I've lived in this house for 20 years, and the smoke alarm battery has never died.
Wow.
No. Apologize. It's never died when it wasn't 3 a.m.
Wow.
It's like I'm awake, and the smoke alarm battery's dying. I have never experienced that in my entire adult life. It always happens at 3:30 in the damn morning when you sleep.
I was just about to ask you what kind of batteries you use. Where to find them?
Well, so this is the thing.
Here goes that bump again.
Oh, yeah. Watch this.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Sir. Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, my shit shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Get back, man, baby.
Saying to plug it back in.
Lord.
Well, thank you for joining us, Kurt. We were genuinely.
We glad you made it.
We were genuinely concerned.
We're on WrestleMania 4 now.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, man.
Well, that may be one of y'all.
I'm surprised the ropes didn't snap when Valentine put his legs up on them.
Aren't those ropes terrible? God,
here comes another.
They suck.
Okay.
Commercial time.
Yeah. I got 24 seconds on mine.
I got 52.
How is that? Like, why do we all get different shit in different times?
That's a good question.
So I'll pause mine when it gets back on.
Mine's is talking about, and I ain't going to say.
Uh-oh. Must be dick pills.
No, it's woman problems.
Ah.
I like how he's got the WrestleMania program in his hand. Like, that's his script.
All right. I paused mine at 57:25.
Okay.
So where are we at right now?
I still got 20 seconds.
I'm at 58:02.
57:25, Kurt.
What are we looking at? Still WrestleMania?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, hold on 1 second.
I still got 10 seconds.
That's cool.
Seven,
Kurt,
six,
you gotta get Kurt
five.
Up to speed too. So,
okay.
You said 57:22.
57:25.
All right, that's what I'm at now.
All right.
I just want to remind all of you listening.
Whatever, Hill Club.
I just want to remind all of you listening. You get nothing but the finest here at the Wrestling
Rhythm
Podcast.
Oh yeah, it's raw. It's raw. Raw, unadulterated fun. Did I say that right?
What'd you say?
I said it's raw, unadulterated fun.
Yeah.
Raw.
Jim,
it ain't glamorous.
Talking trash every week, man. I wish I had the
it's real
gift of gab like Cornette.
Cornette's a legend. Cornette is a legend.
He can be a bit of a curmudgeon, and I don't always agree with what he says, but he is always entertaining.
Yep. Cornette is a legend.
He is one person in wrestling that I haven't met that I would love to meet and get a. I've got an autograph from him, but I haven't met him.
Hmm. We got to make that happen.
Well, the thing of Cornette is what's so wild about him is he's worked for damn near everybody and completely burned every bridge. Everybody.
Yeah.
Even the NWA stuff didn't pan out. I mean, it's wild, man. And it was,
didn't Cornette do that thing with Jerry Lawler and ECW too?
Yes, but they did it in WWF.
No, okay. Because I'm like, imagine Cornette and ECW. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Imagine Cornette and ECW.
You mentioned that.
Oh my God.
That NWA incident. The moment that came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I said, oh shit. Because all of us who's watched wrestling from the early 80s, we've heard that joke a million times. But this is just a new climate. And truthfully, he shouldn't have made that joke. But what really bothered me was the way that Lagana threw him under the bus. Because that show went through so many hands before it was ever put out on YouTube. They could have edited it out. And I'm like, no, Lagana was a piece of shit for that. Jim?
Yeah.
Cornette?
And a lot of times it's somebody that's got more power than you that is jealous of where you're at. In the business, that's probably what it was. And it was an easy way to get rid of somebody that you don't like. You know, it's something that's stupid like that, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure you could have a conspiracy theory about that if you'd like, but,
yeah, me and
you know, you can't let something like that go. That's ridiculous.
Kurt and I were, if I remember correctly, Kurt and I were both watching the show and text each other like, oh shit.
Yeah.
This ain't good.
Yeah, no, not at all.
So,
yep.
All right, you ready, Kurt?
Yeah, I read.
57-25. All right, I'm going to count us off on three, and at three, hit play. One, two, three. I said it last time.
That's so many of them.
I love that wide shot.
Submission. So, Greg the Hammer Valentine is still the reigning Intercontinental.
I like how they called it like it was a sport.
And Gorilla. I love it. And Gorilla had to throw in the rule violation part here where they made sure that everyone knew that JYD wasn't the champ.
There he is, deer in headlights. I am Lord Alfred Hayes. A team of
young, yeah. Fine young
athletes. Classy Freddy freaking Blassie. God doggone it. My guy.
This is a strange combo here. These two guys in Albano.
Yes. Like,
yeah. I wish Classy Freddy. Man.
I wish he was doing the Hawk Tui back then.
Hawk Tui.
Hulk Hogan. Hawk Tui.
I fuck it. No. I fuck it. That Hulk Hogan. Hawk Tui. Shiki, baby. Long live the Iron Sheik, man. Oh, my God. I wish I could have had a conversation with him. He was hilarious.
And rubber bands in his face.
See, I never understood the rubber bands on his face. Hey, I never
did. What's he drinking, by the way?
He was ahead of his time.
There's got to be a beer. Because he's a fisherman. There's got to be a beer.
There goes the father of the late, great Bray Wyatt and his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They're going to the Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
U.S. Express. Look at Freddie Blassie, man. Come on, man.
When my dad was in high school, he worked at Grant's Department Store over in Hapeville. And he was a football player in high school. And his manager came up to him one day and said, "Hey, man, I need your help. There's this guy over in the men's department that's stealing some stuff. He's got a bag. And he's putting stuff in the bag. I want you to go over and hide in the corner. And when I give you the heads up, I want you to jump around the corner and grab the guy." And so my dad's like, "Okay, cool." You know, he's all hyped up and everything, like 16 or 17 years old, and he's all jacked up. He's going to go tackle this guy stealing stuff, you know. So he goes over there, and he's sitting around the corner and everything, and he's waiting, and the manager gives him the high sign, and he comes right around the corner, and he's face to chest with Freddie Blassie. And Freddie Blassie back then was a much thicker man. He's not the 70-year-old man that you see here in this video, but he was a monster. It was like a refrigerator standing there. And he said, "I would have gotten him a bag and given him whatever he wanted because I wasn't going to tackle Blassie." He said, everybody in the store was watching him and just cracking up laughing. And he said it was hilarious. He said he'd come right around the corner and there's Blassie standing there just barrel chested as all get out.
I've got a Adam
sweet ass satin jacket, boy.
Adam and I have a mutual friend who had the opportunity and the pleasure to know Sheik's daughters personally.
Mm-hmm.
He used to live in the neighborhood I moved into when we left Atlanta, moved to Palmetto. At some point, he had lived in that neighborhood that we moved into. And this mutual...
Oh, he just did the Hawk Tui.
Yep.
Scoot the U.S. there! Hawk Tui!
And everybody was throwing trash.
Yep. That's heat.
And what the hell is Albano?
They're waiting on their cue to walk out. They cut to the camera early, I think.
I thought that was a good shot of them coming out of the locker room. Yeah.
I love that shot. I really do. When they did those shows at the Garden, I love that shot.
Yes, I love the side entrance at the Garden. I've always
loved it. I love that shot.
It wasn't so bad if the security people would keep people from walking. Because it's kind of like in the middle of the crowd on that side shot, like that far side there. Because they used to do the hard cam, like they have the hard cam set up here. And they'd walk out of the from the opposite side of the ring, And that's like people are getting up and going to pee and stuff during the show, and there's people walking by. Yeah. Bruce Pickle complained about that. He always hated that.
Black Dragon, I'm not shitting on what you're saying about the IRS gimmick, so please don't take it that way, because I definitely don't want to lose you as a listener. But that was during the era of gimmicks in WWE or WWF at the time that I absolutely hated. Everybody had a job-related gimmick, and me growing up on Jim Crockett Promotions and NWA, like, I hated that shit.
But I think Mike did the best he could to get it over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every one of those guys. Yeah, I take nothing away from the, Repo Mans of the world or whatever. They did the best they could with what they were given. They were given shit, and they tried to make it work. I don't blame them at all.
Yeah, I hate Repo Man, but IRS, I was kind of all right with IRS.
I mean, come on, man. You give Terry Taylor the Red Rooster.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I'm like, this is humiliating, and you put Dusty, you put a legend in fucking polka dots. Oh man!
I always loved Ashley, boots with the roll up, with the girl up toe.
Yes,
I remember me and my brother watching Wrestle War '89 and looking at the boot. Me and my brother and your wife Kurt, we looking at them damn boots sitting over there cracking up.
With that agility.
Cause it's like, we looking at the TV like, boy, look at them damn boots.
Look how big Nikolai Volkov's tights are. You could cover a car with those things.
Yes, you can. It's the hey man, that's the waist high ass, boy.
Those are Crocs. Those are Crocs.
Oh yeah, that's the waist high ass, boy.
That's like a 68 Bonneville trunk.
Right. It's a whole lot of red, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just think, a year later in 1986, Barry Windham had one of the greatest matches ever against Ric Flair.
Yeah.
He hit that stride where he was the best wrestler in the business at that time.
These guys weren't, they weren't a tag team in the WWF long, were they? The U.S. Express?
No.
Just a little over a year.
Okay.
I honestly, I couldn't remember. I remember the tag team, but growing up where I grew up, I didn't see a whole lot of WWF back in the day.
They had the titles twice, like a 4-month reign total.
And I've always loved those cowboy boot style boots.
Yeah, that's a weird for being in New York wrestling. That's a weird combo there, but
I never thought about it like that. But you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously wasn't a territory at this point, quote unquote, but it kind of was. But he's not doing a cowboy gimmick, but that's what he's wearing.
And I never understood the attraction of Nikolai Volkov. He was just so boring to me.
But that's a big old man. He's
big as hell, but just from me, it's off to here. I never understood the appeal of why they just push him so hard.
Because
back in the day, because of what was going on in the world, U.S. and Russia, it sucked to me.
Yeah, because they,
words right out of my mouth. It's because of that.
Well, it was a weird. A weird time where everybody kind of had the Russian gimmick, no one really had an Iranian other than, obviously Vince. He had Skandar Akbar in World Class, but, he was a manager. But, dude, I've never seen a bad Nikolai Volkov match. The dude could work. Yeah. And he was a good – and, the singing stuff was over. You saw the crowd reaction when they pulled that mic down for him to sing. He was a solid good heel. He wasn't ever super nasty, but I could probably count on one hand how many times I saw the man win a match. It's hard to do is have a career like that as a bad guy and keep constantly losing.
That much heat.
Just imagine the amount of heat that was on Sheik when he won the title, when he did, because of everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And then they
look at that. Jeez.
And then they sadly and ill-advisedly tried to replicate that shit in, was it 90 with Sergeant Slaughter?
You know, I just watched the Sergeant Slaughter doc that they had. Mm-hmm. And it's lost on me just as a wrestling fan knowing what these guys go through. But it is it's hard to watch as a parent now watching how these kids had to deal with some of this crap, you know? Mm-hmm. That really, it sucks to see the girls talk about the things that happened outside when their dad was doing the Iranian or the Iraqi sympathizer gimmick and all that kind of stuff. It's hard to watch these kids having gone through this, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Especially so if your dad was, like you just said, the foreign adversary.
I mean, yeah.
You have the, yeah, it had to be rough. I cannot imagine, well, Sheik, for instance, his daughters, I can't imagine what those kids went through. I mean.
Well, they probably, you know, they could probably kayfabe that. They probably didn't, you know, just the kids in the neighborhood knew who he was. But, I mean, still, you know, your last name's Vaziri. No one knew what his real name was, you know? So you can go to school and be a kid in school, you know, and I'm sure he wasn't going to any PTA meetings or anything like that, you know, but, you know, and mom's a blonde lady from Minnesota. So you kind of probably get away from that a little bit, you know?
Hey, if somebody was trying to run up on him, they'll say, hey, you don't know who my dad is, though. He beat your ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
He will beat your ass.
Ooh, look at that shoulder, dude.
Good God.
That's nasty looking.
There was somebody that tried to slap on an abdominal stretch within the last couple of weeks and just could not do it. They kept trying, and it was horrible.
Mm. Yeah, look, they're still throwing trash.
Say that again, Adam.
That's real heat.
They're still throwing trash into the ring.
Yep. That's real heat.
Those are real. Those are Met fans.
Shout out to the New York Mets.
But man, but look at Volkov. Volkov is bumping, man.
Volkov in the damn. That damn. He already in the ring like he's somebody's granddaddy.
That bulldog looked painful.
Jesus.
What a terrible sell. Good job, Sheik.
He kicked me.
Take that drop kick and jump out of the ring and you be set. Now he's got Blassie's cane and Blasts.
Hey, man, Blassie in that damn jacket, that's, man. Look, Freddie Blassie was cold. I'm a big fan of Freddie Blassie, okay? Freddie Blassie was cold, man.
Pencil neck.
Now, where's Tito Santana now?
Right?
He in the back. He ain't ready to go.
Tito had to go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a King Tamira to go to. Yeah. He had a King Tamira outfit on. He was ready to go.
Shoot, man, Tito probably at Studio 54.
There when you go.
Still open back then?
Yeah, I think so.
He probably only went to Studio 54.
So we've had a couple other people join us.
Freddie Blassie, kids, look him up.
Thank you for joining us. We're watching WrestleMania, the original WrestleMania.
New tag team champions.
And then lost it like 2 weeks to a month later or something like that.
Mm. And the fans are still throwing trash. And she go over there talking shit. I love it.
Cheeky baby.
Iron Sheik was cut.
Yes, oh, yeah. Hey, look, the Iron Sheik was the real deal. He was the real deal.
I love the story about when he got caught for testing positive for marijuana. Sheik always positive. Yes, very positive. No.
That's hilarious.
You failed the drug test, sir. Oh, man. And then
he said he did a whole celebration.
Look at the referee cleaning up the trash.
That's dope. So basically, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of, you know, it might be an oxymoron to some, but this is when wrestling was real. Well, it was presented like it was real. And they did what they had to do to make sure it was presented like it was real. It wasn't like this glamorous presentation. Like, it was, like, it was raw.
Last week we talked about,
I love it.
Last week we talked about how fans reacted to heels and whatever and being separated by a pole in the string. Nick's dressing room, coach's lounge.
Says Studio 54 closed in 1980. Oh, well.
All right.
Goes that. Goes that joke. Thanks for the fact check, though.
There you go.
Right, look, man, all I know is Studio 54 was a big deal back in the day, so.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's this shit. I think I might have wanted to go. Let's do one little tour through there.
Brooke Shields was partying in Studio 54 at 14 years old. That tells you something.
That's crazy.
Well, that's that noise.
That's crazy.
But check this out.
What's that noise?
That's the most insane thing about Brooke Shields. Brooke Shields, because her mother agreed to it, posed nude at 10 years old.
What?
Yes.
For what?
And that is not an urban myth. That is true. There's
what's that noise? Back.
That is a good question. I don't even know.
I hear it now. Like somebody got a fan going in the mic. Like they say,
all is fair in love and war. I don't hear anything. I'll tell you this, too. That's something I'm not Googling later.
But, yeah, she posed nude and was in...
Wait, ain't me this time, y'all.
Yeah, I got 50 seconds, so... But the publication that Brooke Shields was in has some ties to Playboy. I can't remember what it was called. But it has some ties to Playboy publishing. But at 10, her mom signed a contract that allowed her to be photographed nude.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
She went to court when she got a little bit older. The guy that owns the photograph, they were part of an art exhibit in New York that they ended up taking down because of obviously because of obscenity.
That's child pornography.
Child pornography. But,
no doubt.
Years later, she took it to court and tried to get ownership of the pictures now that she was older, but she had no say-so in the matter. And I can't remember, but I think she actually lost that court case.
Do y'all still hear that?
I do.
Yeah. Keep your
hands on the belt. I'm not, nothing coming through on my end.
It's gone now.
Yeah, stop just then.
So like we was in a damn jet.
Yeah.
Like somebody, if you be on the plane, somebody opened the emergency exit. That would sound like.
Man, let me tell you, after working on the tarmac, you don't want to be anywhere near them things when they're on, or not even on, just idling.
No, yeah. No.
An Antonov.
I was always scared of them.
An Antonov took off. Or it didn't even take off. It was taxiing from our ramp going to the runway. We had to pull all of our, and I realize I may be talking industry stuff here. Kurt may know what I'm talking about. But we had to pull all our ULDs into the warehouse because when the Antonov has, I think, 8 engines on it.
Bobby Heenan.
And when it takes off, it would blow all of the damn ULDs back against the wall.
That's wild, man.
Stud was a big dude.
Yeah, he's cool ass. He was cool as hell. Look at Bobby Heenan.
I thought this while watching this the other night. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong. John Stud looks like somebody you could just sit down and have a beer with.
Hell, look, when I was getting ready for the show, whatever, I'm like, when this damn John Stud match come on, he just look like he just cool as hell. Just don't piss him off.
And
boy, he's cool as hell.
I've heard Bruce Pritchard on his podcast talk about Stud, said that Stud was a really nice dude, but that Andre absolutely hated him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Andre didn't, didn't like for anybody else to be a big man on the shows and everything. And because Stud was like almost the same height as Andre was, that Andre just disliked him being there.
Wow. Competition.
Yeah.
Used to bully him all the time.
Yeah.
That's probably the reason he left WWF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about it is back when I was younger, John Studd always used to get the best of Andre the Giant every time it was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, noble friends. Andre coming out cheesing.
I never really got, and of course I didn't see a lot of his younger work that early, but as a kid, outside of his size, I never really liked Andre.
I didn't either. I never understood the Giant, and he's just
Now, when I went back and watched some of the earlier stuff where he was actually running the ropes and doing drop kicks,
yeah,
I get it then. But when I was a kid watching, I'm like, what's the big deal?
I never got it. Never got it.
I forgot how long this match was. I was surprised when I watched the show earlier. I wanted to look at it just to kind of refresh my memory on some things to talk about during the show, and I was surprised how long this lasted.
And it's a hard match to watch.
I mean, it's not Omega versus Ospreay, but you know, that's not what it's supposed to be. So,
right, and I completely agree with you there. But it's just, you know, Andre is, you can obviously tell, even at this point, he's hurting. He's much slower now. That's what makes it tough to watch.
Andre's selling here, which is crazy. You know, but at least for him doing that for Stud is kind of odd, but.
Yeah. BP49, you said something about Stud stepping over the top rope like Andre did. I wouldn't doubt me if Andre got upset about that, because he was the giant in professional wrestling. It's like, you're stealing my shit, man.
Well, that's kind of the idea behind this match, was that John Stud was talking about how he was the real giant in professional wrestling and all this kind of stuff. So that was what led up to this match happening. But yeah. So I get that. That's part of the heel part of this matchup.
Look at those boots.
Good thing the ropes are loose though, because I don't think they'd have made it over if they weren't.
Right.
A little bit different setup on the ring than they normally are.
There's nothing funnier than watching guys who are tall step over the top rope, but they have to do it on their tiptoes, and they have to make sure they don't wreck themselves.
Yeah,
Kane was one of them.
Yeah,
Kane, Kevin Nash, The Undertaker. My guy. Like, Bobby the Brain Heenan should have had a comedy album. I'm so serious. He should have. Have y'all ever seen his Hall of Fame speech?
Yes.
Legendary.
Yep.
Legendary. I think if we got time, I think we need to look at that Hall of Fame speech. Legendary.
We can do an entire episode on Larry Zbyszko's speech. It's still going on, I think.
No doubt.
Yeah, Black Dragon, it was last week we did the show celebrating Undertaker's, 59th birthday?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere that he's finally revealed what he said to Bray Wyatt that night. And I kind of hate that he did that.
Should have kept it a secret.
Yeah,
that's between the two of them.
Especially given the fact that he passed.
What were we talking about?
I was just talking about Undertaker has apparently revealed what he said to Bray Wyatt that night in the ring.
That was the Raw 30. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically telling him like he's the guy now or something like that. And just keep this cool or keep doing what you're doing. Some shit like that. But I just think it would have been better if he would have just kept it, especially given the fact that Bray passed. Just keep that between you two. That's a moment that you and him deserve.
And that may be something that they have in the Bray Wyatt thing that they're doing tomorrow. That may be in that too. So that may be where you're seeing that from. So I'm sure some people got previews of it. So
that does make sense then.
What doesn't make sense is having that on Monday night, on the Monday before WrestleMania, when you want everybody to watch Monday Night Raw and you're going to tell them to watch Peacock to go see the Bray Wyatt video while you're doing Monday Night Raw.
Right.
And I ain't figured that out yet.
And then for the first hour, most people are going to be watching Iowa and LSU women's basketball.
And Black Dragon, you were right. That was his last match. Unfortunately, that was a, in my opinion, I'll only speak for myself, that was a horrible match. It was a horrible concept.
We shit all over that damn match.
I like Bray Wyatt.
We didn't know at the time that would be his last match.
Yeah. I was a
huge fan. LA Knight?
Yep.
Yeah, that like, Mountain Dew Dark match or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that shit was terrible.
we were mad as hell. We were so mad, man.
That shit was terrible.
And
because that was SummerSlam, right?
Yeah.
And we were so mad. That's when we were all together. We were so mad.
And
like, what the fuck?
There was something more to his death, not like controversial, but you know, if he had done something, he might still be alive now or something like that.
Well, I think he had complications from COVID.
Yeah.
I think that's what they had talked about with that.
Yeah, and then it was something with the with his heart too.
Yeah.
Damn.
Andre's about to do a step up in Zaguri here in just a moment. Andre's got the educated feet from the Grenoble private school.
He's got some huge feet.
That's Japan shit.
Man.
Body slam. Here it is.
He's like, what do we do now? I got your foot.
Now, like this, this was funny. Watch. Because I remember when WWF used to show highlights of this back in the day. Goodbye.
Well, he said that,
he was doing Orange Cassidy's shin kicks before.
Goodbye, Heenan, man. He said, give me that damn money.
They said that because the fans were so close that they wanted it to have real money in the bag, but that it was somebody's cash. I think it might have been Vince's money. And so Andre was like, well, I'm going to put all it to the fans. And they're like, no, please don't do that. It's my money. And that they were worried about it. And so Andre still threw it to everybody.
And Bobby Heenan jumps in the ring and snatches it back.
Yeah. Bobby the Brain fucking Heenan, man.
Bobby's a company man.
Oh, man. God almighty. He's one of the guys I wish was still alive today just to tell these stories, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. If Bobby the Brain Heenan had a podcast, I would listen to that every week, faithfully.
Bobby Heenan is a guy that probably right now with as many entertainment options as we had, and realistically in 1985, there's four TV networks, you know, I guess three at this point because Fox isn't around yet.
Yeah.
But there was no place for Bobby Heenan to go at this point. But Bobby Heenan realistically could have had his own talk show on something, Comedy Central, whatever it is. You know, he could have done something like that and been perfectly fine. I hate that he's gone now, you know.
Yeah. Bobby the Brain Heenan. God rest his soul.
And the dude could wrestle too.
Yep.
The Weasel himself.
All the
Uh-oh, there goes Adam's smoke alarm.
Well, see, what's weird is I hear it on the podcast, and I don't know that it's not somebody else's.
It happened to us, too.
Because yeah, it was loud.
We thought it was Ron's, yeah. And it actually turned out to be my ass.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
We're just like, God, of all
time. I know for sure I don't have a damn 9-volt battery anywhere.
Did y'all notice that Ventura just called Gorilla Gino?
Yeah, he's done it a bunch during this.
With Gene Okerlund.
Here's another terrible pre-tape.
Wait a minute. Did y'all just go to a commercial?
Oh, it went blank, yeah. I'm sure it's the mine's not on commercial, no.
Okay, well, it went blank and it came right back.
I'm at 1 hour.
Yeah.
I'm over here with Lord Alfred and the Fabulous Moolah.
Look at Lord Alfred with some lipstick on his face.
I'm not that far yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm at 127, 11, 12, 13.
So. Oh, I'm a minute ahead of you.
I got dial-up.
Kids, if you don't know what dial-up is, Google it.
You better get another. AOL disc. You don't want to run out of time.
Oh my God! I tell my students about that all the time. They like, we really had to get internet on the CD. Yes, we did.
What? What time?
I don't remember that.
What time?
You don't remember? You don't remember getting no CDs in the mail?
Hell no.
Maybe you think we. Bro, you need the timestamp.
Yes, please.
All right. So right now I am at 128:52. So
pause it.
Yeah, the WrestleMania screen just kind of is going away, and Fabulous Moolah and Leilani Kai is being interviewed by
127 what?
58. Gene. Oh.
128:54 where I'm at.
Yeah, well, I'm at 54.
128.
That's where I'm at.
128:54. Let me get to that.
That's where I'm at. 158:20.
Moolah's got glasses on with backwards dollar signs, right. So you know because.
Shout out to the Fabulous Moolah.
All right, I'm at 52,
53,
54. Play.
All right,
ready?
Yep.
All right, play.
Adam, I didn't even realize those dollar signs were backwards until you said it.
Moolah's probably like, it's probably one of those where they're just kind of a cover or something, but she probably didn't realize they probably looked straight in the mirror.
Yeah.
Or maybe she wanted to see them that way. Or maybe she wanted to see them the correct way in her eyes.
There you go.
Okay, so fill me in. I don't remember Leilani Kai with the title. I always thought Wendy Richter beat Moolah for it. I don't remember her winning it from.
Well,
Moolah dressed up in all black. And we throwing trash in the ring now.
Moolah was that before?
Moolah beat Wendy Richter back for the title, to get the title back.
I thought that was after this, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was.
Yeah, there was that. So how did Leilani Kai get the title? Because she's wearing that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I didn't see that show.
Yeah, that's a good question. Then Leilani Kai wrestled it the 10th anniversary when 10 years later.
Yeah.
For the title.
I'm just trying to figure out how the hell she had the title now. I thought Wendy Richter had the title going in.
I know that Fabulous Moolah went. Oh, here we go. Fabulous Moolah went and beat her. She put on a mask and beat her. Wendy Richard for the title, and then Wendy Richard was never seen again. So she got inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you gotta love how Cyndi Lauper's manager worked himself into this.
Yeah.
Well, he's the wrestling guy. He's the one that. He's the one that ended up setting all this stuff up.
Ah, okay. I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah, he was. I want to say like either he was a wrestling fan or watched wrestling, or his brother was, or something like that. But he was a big wrestling fan, and that's how it all got thrown together. Because that's how Albano made it into her videos and all that kind of stuff, and they just started talking about it.
BP49 asked the question, if this WrestleMania didn't take off like it did, would the WWE be around still? I say yes. They like to tell the story that this was make or break. I don't believe that. They would have taken a financial loss, yeah, but they would still be around.
It's hard to say because at this point they were doing – they had done a couple of the Saturday night main events and that kind of thing with NBC, but they really only had the syndicated program on USA. They really weren't doing anything mainstream at this point. So,
I agree with that. Yeah. Yes, this absolutely put them, I guess, quote unquote, on the map from a northeastern territory to a national stage. But I still think if WrestleMania would have been mediocre, and to be honest, from the card, it is mediocre. But just the spectacle of it and. You know, packing in 19,000 fans in the Madison Square Garden, having all these celebrities involved, although Liberace is just a weird wrestling connection.
So, yeah.
Okay, Adam.
Yeah.
You know who Kenneth Copeland is?
They don't look alike, Brian. They don't look alike.
I'm telling you, when Liberace comes out, tell me that man don't look like Kenneth Copeland.
He does not.
Hey, Ron.
Yo.
All white people don't look alike, man. Come on.
Not alike.
I was not ready for that.
No, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, there's.
I don't see it at all.
There you go. That was Adam that said that. There you go. Adam's opinions do not reflect those of the Wrestling My Thoughts podcast. a little bit. It's a weird one. I think that they're just like, well, yeah, Liberace said he'll do it. Let him come in. You know, it's like one of those things. It's wild. I mean, but like everybody, you know, I mean, I can't think of what a current – who on earth would be a current celebrity that would be at that level of Liberace at that point, man? I mean, because he was a famous, you know, that's and a famous group for them. You know, it's not culture, but it's like, you know, somebody's grandma saw him. You know, that kind of thing. He might have been at some of Moolah's first matches, but it's a weird get. I think at some point Andy Warhol is shown at ringside.
Yeah.
Andy Warhol was there. You know, for being a pop culture and MTV phenomenon that WrestleMania was, there's a couple of weird old people on this show that just don't really make any sense.
Now, BP asked, you know, would the territory still be around or would somebody else take it global? I think eventually wrestling was going to become by natural selection, I guess, if that's the right phrase I'm trying to use. But wrestling was bound to be national just because of the way media progressed. Kayfabe was going to die at some point, although I think certain individuals did things to exacerbate that. But And I believe kayfabe was going to die eventually because we were in the age of the internet. We know everything instantly now. So I definitely think somebody would have went national at some point. I think the territories probably would have lasted another 10 to 15 years possibly, but eventually somebody was going to make a big conglomerate wrestling promotion.
Yeah, I McMahon taking the risk on this, and this wasn't even a pay-per-view thing at this point. This was a closed circuit TV thing for the first, I think, two or three WrestleManias.
Yeah.
But I think somebody would have gone national with it. Honestly, more than anything else, I think it would have been WCW. Just from the platform that Ted Turner had with TBS, that made the most sense. And then Vince coming on to USA and then Monday Night Raw and everything like that in the 90s, that kind of propelled it into more – mainstream, and that came out of necessity from the cable industry and all these different channels that opened up, and that's where the need for programming was at. Yeah. And so, I think it would have been Ted Turner that took it national before anybody else did, And you're just talking about from a television perspective, but then when you deal with the logistics of doing television and live events all across the country, that's when the expense was there as far as talent and equipment and everything like that, and getting that from arena to arena for a weekly show. The live aspect of Nitro is what was wild and what was costly. But once Nitro went live, that was the game changer there.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
Yeah.
Hey, has any other wrestling show ever done a show in the mall?
No, I'm sure somebody has at some point, but not on that scale, obviously.
You guys know that that's an option now on the 2K24 game, that you can wrestle it at the Mall of America.
Yep, I have. Wow. I have.
But the question is, can we go get Hogan's pasta?
No. But I do. I bought 2K24. I have it. So
yeah, there you go.
Yep.
But like I said, I think it would have gone national just from that perspective, because, and when you guys talk about kayfabe dying, a lot of that went away with the athletic commissions. Minnesota with AWA, they were dealing with that in Las Vegas when they were doing their shows out in Vegas at one of the casinos out there they were doing their shows at. And so the athletic commissions, because they felt that it was an actual contest, was taxing these shows.
Yep.
And they wouldn't tax them if it was a performance. And so they were not getting taxed by the athletic commissions if they told the athletic commission it was a performance. And so that's where a lot of the kayfabe went away, was because of that. It was a necessity more than anything else, because they were getting like a 25% cut out of the gate for a lot of these shows, especially up in the Northeast where you had New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Those athletic commissions were taking chunks out of each gate because they felt it was an athletic contest, and they were trying to get away from that.
See, this is why y'all come to Wrestling With My Thoughts. We got all the good shit here. Get your information here.
Get your information and watch a ladies match that is second to last on WrestleMania.
You see them damn flimsy ass ropes and old girl almost fell.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Is the impact of WCW underrated in the history of wrestling? I don't think it is. WCW honestly only had a few short years of profitability as a promotion. And so I don't think it's underrated. I think it's exactly where it needs to be. I think with the NWO storyline, obviously they hate to use the term, but kind of, I don't even want to say revolutionized, because they didn't revolutionize. They had a big impact. I'll just say that. And I think that's what gets, to some degree, in my opinion, overrated. Because it did have a big impact, but then it died a painful, slow and painful death.
NWO, and it shouldn't have happened.
Yes, NWO did for that, is what I'm referring
to. So. It should not have happened. WCW should still be in business today. It should still be in business. Like, WCW should have been what TNA is, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the impact that WCW brought to the wrestling game was live weekly television.
Fair.
Because that wasn't happening before then.
Fair.
WWE was doing a live show, and then they were taping for the next week at the same show. So they were doing 4 hours of television each live show. And then whatever stuff they were doing for syndicated programs at that point. And so they were live to tape for half of their shows. And then WCW and Bischoff coming in and saying, we want to do live every day. And Turner Sports had the ability to do that. And so they had crews everywhere between CNN and Turner and TBS. they had enough people to send a crew, a TV crew and a truck and everybody there to do a live show every single week. And so that made it, that made a huge difference for them. That's what propelled them at that point. Cause you know, even though it backfired on Bischoff at one point, obviously, but, having it live every single week was kind of cool. And it gave them the ability to go and have a live gate every single week as opposed to two a month. And going to that live TV, that really changed and impacted what happened with wrestling in general, just having live TV every single week. Big time money saver too, for a lot of things. You don't have to go in and edit and that sort of thing, but it was, you know, you also get that extra money from the extra gate every single week. I don't know if Cyndi Lauper got hit or if that's just lipstick.
I think it's lipstick. That's lipstick.
That's just lipstick. Yeah.
Damn. That's a whole lot of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Once again, it's like, hey, can somebody tell, hey, you got lipstick all over your teeth.
Yeah.
Like all over your teeth. Like here, here's a napkin. Wipe that shit off.
Yep.
Her manager. Because Captain Lou back there again.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that old school women's title. All so, right. Are we at the main event now?
I got a commercial, so I got 23 seconds.
Yeah, I made a commercial too. Look at Jakar Jackson.
See, this is the downside of corporate wrestling, people.
Man, I got Jakar Jackson on my screen, boy. Ooh-wee.
Maybe I got a different. I'm on Peacock, and I'm not getting any commercials. But maybe that's. I might have Peacock Plus or something. Who knows?
I was about to say, you probably got Plus.
So you're trying to say your Peacock is bigger than ours?
Yes.
But Roy!
What?
Roy. Pause.
I did. At 1 hour, 42 minutes. And
come on, Roy. All right, so figures in the ring. Do we need to pause real quick so everybody get caught up? Because we had the main event.
Okay.
I'm at 142.50 right now.
I'm at 143.01.
I'm at 142.51. So you're at what, Brandon?
143.01.
Right, I'm up 143 now, so.
1 second. I'm getting there. All right, I'm at 143.01. I'm going to count down to three, and we'll hit play. One, two, three.
Right.
The Fink has the mic in his hand.
The Fink. Harold Finkel, ladies and gentlemen. Google him, kids. I think Fink is one of the greatest wrestling announcers of all time, hands down.
Easily top five.
Because anybody that says, look, you ain't made it until Harold Finkel calls you to the ring. That's something.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Billy Martin coming down there cheesing. And you know what I mean when I say cheesing, right?
Cheesing?
Yeah.
Oh, with a big grin on his face?
Yeah, you know, so. just smiling. hey, look, Billy Martin was OG too now.
Brandon.
These are Billy's people, man.
Hey, yeah.
Brandon. Adam's white, but he's not that white.
I'm just asking. I'm just making sure.
I'm from Clayton, man. It's cool.
Just got a brand new teeth. Look at Billy Martin with a brand new teeth.
Let me tell you something right now.
That kid's like, when are we going?
Steinbrenner paid for them teeth, boy.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Billy Martin would fight anybody in that building right now.
I know he would. That's why but you know what, though? That's why I like him. I'm a sports historian too, by the way. So that's why.
Yeah, Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson. Billy Martin pulling Reggie out of the game in Boston was incredible.
Yeah,
that dude was something else.
Yeah.
While he's talking here, we'll tell the story. Billy Martin, Mickey Mantle tells a story about he and Billy Martin had went hunting one day. You guys heard the story?
No, but here comes Kenneth Copeland.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have two gay icons in the ring.
He coming down to the ring, cheesing too.
Oh yeah. And this might be the first time he's touched a girl in a while too.
Oh my god,
he's about to line dance in a minute.
Kids, Google it. Google Liberace. Okay.
Yep.
And you don't understand the joke.
Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle went on a hunting trip one time, and Mickey had said that he knew this farmer that had this hunting property that he and Billy were going to go hunt on. So they pull up to the guy's house, and Billy's waiting in the car, and Mickey goes up to the house and knocks on the door and talks to the guy. The guy's like, "Hey, thank you guys. Y'all can come hunt, no problem. So I need you to do me a favor." He said, "Over there in the field, I've got this donkey. It's been one of my donkeys. It's been with me for a long time. He's really sick, and we need to put him down, but I don't have the heart to do it. Do you mind going and doing that for me?" He goes, "Absolutely." He goes, "No problem, man." He goes, "I'm real sorry about that, but I'll help you out with that. No problem." He goes, "Thank you very much. I really appreciate it." So Mickey comes back to the truck and pulls his gun out, and Billy's like, "What's going on?" He goes, "That son of a bitch wouldn't let us hunt on his land. He told us that we needed to go. That son of a bitch just told us he wouldn't let us on his land." So he pulls the trigger and shoots the shit out of the guy's donkey. So he gets done shooting the donkey, and he hears, "Pow, pow, pow." And he turns around, and Billy Martin's there. He goes, "I just got three of his cows. Let's go."
Damn. Oh,
man. Well, they had to pay for this guy's cows, too. They went and took him some money for his cows. But he said he was just going to do it as a joke, and Billy Martin took him serious and was shooting up his cows.
Wow. Wow.
So, BP 49 asks, are the announcers from back in the day better than the ones now?
Muhammad Ali.
It depends on which ones you're talking about. Some yes, some no, in my opinion.
Jesse Ventura is one of the great heel announcers of all time, but Monsoon and Heenan were better.
Yeah.
Ventura was a good third wheel. If you had the two of them, if you had Ventura, Monsoon, and Heenan, that's a great combo there with those guys. But listening to Vince McMahon call a show or listening to Monsoon, it's just an overall different vibe. It's weird. You know, like, they didn't do live TV that much either. So watching this as a live event, it's pretty wild to think about them doing this live when they didn't do it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
This is pretty good for them. That's why Lord Alfred Hayes looks so weird. So he's not used to doing this kind of thing live. He's just doing pre-tapes in the studio most of the time.
Right.
So he
also, this is one of the great entrances here.
Yes, it is.
Yes, oh, yeah. Let's see. You got Liberace's the timekeeper. Pat Patterson and Muhammad Ali are the referees. And, man, Rowdy fucking Piper. So this is like the first, you know, WrestleMania is known as, you know, for their special entrances. This is like the first, like, special entrance ever.
Yeah, I love the look on this.
Piper is coming out with the bad pipes and everything, and here we go.
Also, I think that last guy with the drums might be related to, oh, God, what's the actor's name? Shit. Here we go.
Here we go. Look at Piper. Look at him.
He was a...
This is great.
He was a tremendous heel, man. He was...
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that t-shirt.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Look at Piper. This is arrogant as hell. Look at him. Him and Paul Orndorff.
I don't understand why Paul wasn't a world champion, man. Paul just looked good as hell.
And then we got Cowboy Bob Orton with the cast on his arm.
Yep.
The fake cast that he wore for years. That he wore for years.
Yeah, right. He had poor bone structure, Kurt. It took a while to heal. Craig Scooter, thank you guys for joining the show. We appreciate it. BP49, man, I gotta say, BP49 is asking some great questions. He asked us, where does Cole and Maxie rank? I don't think
they've been doing it long enough
right now, in my opinion. I think Michael Cole, I like Cole, but it, for me, it's hard to figure out where to put him in terms of all time. So, what do you guys think?
They're under everybody.
McAfee, for me, he gets on my nerves. It's just generic hearing his voice. I don't know. He gets on my nerves. It's hard to watch. He's almost as bad as Mauro Ranallo used to be, for me. But I mean, I get it. He's entertaining. He's got the crossover ESPN gig. Here's Vince on the left in the vest.
Yeah, here we go.
You got the crossover with the ESPN deal and everything like that. There's all, look at that. It's all a Mr. T.
This is a classic entrance as well.
Look at how
Mr. T walked that ring.
So also too, they're using Real American here because this is the Peacock. They would have done Eye of the Tiger live.
Right.
So you would have heard Eye of the Tiger.
Which I like way more than Real American.
Yeah, well, they weren't going to pay for it. Not for the network, anyway.
I forgot Jimmy Snuka was involved in this match right here.
How does Snuka not have a match during WrestleMania? That's kind of odd.
That means big as fuck.
Yep.
Oh, dude. Yeah, he's...
He's
Ultimate Warrior now. That's prayers and vitamins is what those are.
Yeah, he's big as hell.
Somebody on Instagram posted an old.
He was the equalizer to Orton.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
He's equalizer to Orton.
But just think about this, y'all. Now, this was 1985. We realized that the whole main event of this show was a women's title match before the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of a calm down match, I think, between the Andre match and then this.
Yeah, but that's just something to think about. Like, damn, babe, 1985.
Well, so it's more of a wave of emotion for the crowd more than anything else. That's where you, when you're laying out a card like that, that's what you're wanting to think of is how the crowd's going to react because you don't want. You don't want these guys coming out after the Andre match, you know.
What's Paul Londorf got a broom?
Well, they were sleeping up trash.
I also think that Cindy Lauper, being as big as she was back then, played a major part in that being following this match.
Right? Yeah, that's true too. Also, you guys realize this Liberace's got some kind of crystal bell that he's going to ring.
Yes. Yeah, I remember
the actual
that.
Ring bell. Oh,
mercy, Jesus.
Yes.
Like, yep. Nobody's gonna hear that.
No. Yep.
And Mr. T looks small as hell next to them.
Yep.
Yeah.
He looks fucking amazing, man.
He's another Fayetteville guy too.
I like.
It's cool as hell.
I like the lean.
I love when they cut the lights off. Mr. Wonderful
starting this matchup. There you go. Red damn bill. Brought to you by the World Wrestling Federation. What
excitement. I love the Paul Orndorff Vader story.
Who?
Paul Orndorff and Van Vader story. Vader tried to punk him and got his ass knocked out.
Well, it all depends on who you listen to. You know, there's several different versions of the story. So, because Vader's like, it never happened.
Ah.
Hey,
Vader and Arn Anderson happened.
Yeah.
See, this is an Orrin Anderson.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
That definitely happened.
But what I was going to say a second ago is I'm a fan of the leaner looking Hogan than I am this roided up or prayers and vitamins.
Yeah.
Hogan. What leaner Hogan? What Hogan are you talking about?
I thought Hogan was the same size.
The Hogan in WCW?
The NWO Hogan.
Oh.
I thought they looked the same.
Well, like, this is a lot of water weight is what this is with Hogan. He's kind of bloated here. It's not cut.
No, we got WCW. He was lean as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Lean and orange and.
Well, he went to the long tights and everything like that because his legs weren't as big and he was a lot more cut than he was there.
Yeah.
Here we go with the slap.
Yeah.
They do that.
I never paid attention.
But they work it into the match.
I heard Piper and Miz T didn't like each other.
No.
No, they didn't. No, he's legitimately wrestling Mr. T right now.
Yeah.
And to his credit, I think that Mr. T held his own in this match for what it was.
Yeah, I mean, for Mr. T not knowing what he's supposed to be doing in this match, right. He did pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And, but that goes to tell you just how good Piper and Orndorff were, too.
They protected them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, despite their differences, they're like, hey, man, look, this is what we got to do to protect the business or whatever. And that was the number one thing. So I can respect that. Yeah.
Hogan at this era is just a massive person.
Yeah.
What is he, 6'7"?
I think he's more like 6'4", 6'5".
Really? I thought he was taller.
Is this at the time? This is at the time where Hulk was like almost 300 pounds.
What do we hear, Hogan?
I don't know.
I know at one point, he was like 300 pounds.
And drove him in?
Muscle weight.
Pat pounds.
That's shit.
Hey, and I realized something. I just saw Hogan do it there, and he's going to do it again in the match once he gets tagged in. Did y'all ever realize that Hogan is a babyface that rakes the eyes as part of his moveset?
Oh, he would do the back rake, too.
All the time.
Man, I just took the word right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I guess as a kid, I never noticed that. As a babyface, I knew he did it as a heel when he turned, but... Like, I saw it here in this match, and I watched a couple other things.
He did it all the time. Yeah. He did it all the time. I don't know what that noise is back. If somebody got a fan on, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, the noise is back. I don't know. I don't hear it.
I don't, yeah.
It just went away.
I don't
hear it. It went away.
Somebody started that damn jet again.
But hey, Muhammad Ali almost knocked out Bob Orton, so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legitimately almost knocked him out.
BP49, I actually think Logan Paul is like, way ahead of Mr. T in terms of how he adapted to wrestling as well as he has, in my opinion.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, way, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not even close.
So no, he's not the new Mr. T because due respect to Mr. T, Mr. T didn't come into this. How can I say this? It was almost like it looked like he came into this without respect for wrestling. And you're going to hear at the end of this match when he gets interviewed what he has to say about that. But Logan Paul came into it ready to learn, which actually surprised me given his persona.
And I'm not gonna say Mr. T. I don't think he didn't respect the business. He just didn't understand.
Yeah, and they kept it. They kept a lot of it from him. Where
he just didn't understand
anybody else that they considered an outsider. They weren't really truthful with him about things. That's why Pat Patterson's having to constantly rein Muhammad Ali in because Muhammad Ali is about to get in and wreck some people, and Patterson's got to go grab Ali and tell him to calm down a couple times.
Yeah,
because Ali thinks that this is like legit too. You know, he's taking his enforcer role super serious, you know.
Yeah.
Terrible double clothesline, by the way.
He took it super serial.
Fool.
I don't know how many people got that, but.
Yep.
It's a south.
Oh, Lord. And that's a good slam, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think
he's a strong dude. But I mean, it's, you know, this is AEW right here, guys. Everybody's in the ring at once.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying earlier. Like, everybody's in the ring, but it fit within the structure of the match. AEW is just chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Look
Nice bump there.
Damn it, man.
That was so smooth. Look at all the trash on the floor, too.
Yeah.
Orndorff. And not so smooth there.
He clotheslined him, and Hogan goes between.
Also, I would not want to get hit with one of these chairs. Look at that.
Not that, that damn chair.
Anyway. It's got some weight to it.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Get back in here. Get back in here, Mr. T. Get back in here. Look how jacked he is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to say earlier. And well, we were all talking, but there was somebody put on Instagram the old commercial for Hulk Hogan's WWF like weight training kit for kids, and it's got Mr. Wonderful's in the commercial. Hogan's not even in it, but Mr. Wonderful busts through the wall, and one of the comments were, "That guy's Jack. How would you get this kind of physique?" And I'm like, "Roy's." Lots and right. Lots of roids.
Yep, right.
Look at that leap by Mr. T was hilarious.
Yeah, no one realized that Mr. T's 5'8".
And that's it.
Yeah.
Me and Mr. T are the same height. Me and Mr. T are the exact same height. Well, no, let me stop. I'm an inch shorter than him. But... it'll be okay.
And he is much smaller than he was at points on the A-team.
Do-do-do-do.
Hey, pretty lady.
Man, you try and escape to the Los Angeles Underground and see if you get to eat it up.
Right.
You can't be going out for chicken and waffles in Los Angeles if you're hiding.
BP, I remember the Mr. T cereal, too. I used to love that shit. I remember the Mr. T cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, man. You can't get any more iconic than that. That's what Pee-wee Herman has for breakfast.
Now, Pete, the food.
Does Hogan bleed?
No.
That didn't work for him, brother.
Mm-mm. I'm not going to bleed.
Because I mean, usually you blade right at the edge of your hairline, and that would be the top of his head at this point.
But his hairline is always in the back of his head.
Yeah.
So I cut myself at the back of my head.
My eyes playing tricks on me.
This year. Halloween fell on a weekend.
Also, too, I had forgotten about Ricky Steamboat being in the first three WrestleManias.
Yeah.
I always thought he was a Jim Crockett kid. I wasn't even really thinking about him being here at this time. That's a weird guy to be in the first three WrestleManias you don't think about.
Yeah, I didn't know he was in the second one. I knew he was in the one and three. I didn't know he was in two.
I'm pretty sure he was in two.
Yeah, I didn't realize it.
Yeah. Look at Mr. T. We're just going to ignore the rules.
This is AEW.
He's holding onto the tag rope.
And he's leaning in between the ropes.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that the other day when I watched it. Oh, man. BP49, yeah, I love DC Cab. Although I was taken to see DC Cab at an age where I shouldn't have been watching DC Cab.
It's okay. You turned out fine.
Yes. That's debatable if you ask some people.
But, oh, my
you
God.
Turned out, you turned out fine.
You think that's bad? My parents took me and my sister with them when they went to watch Sudden Impact when it came out. And for those Good of you Lord. Out there who don't know what the movie Sudden Impact is, I'll just sum it up real quickly. A lady gets gang raped at an amusement park, and she gets revenge on the guys by shooting them in the balls, and Clint Eastwood is the cop trying to stop her.
Well, good Lord. Shout out to Clint Eastwood, though.
And by the way, that is a very good movie.
Yes, it is.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very good movie.
Hey,
but let me tell you about my childhood.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Brandon, have you ever seen the movie Porky's?
Porky's?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Speaking of that, Meat just died recently.
But that's one of those movies that I never saw as an adult. But I saw it as a kid.
Yeah, I saw it as a kid. We had HBO cable back in the day. And me and my my uncle, he's older than me. But he's younger than me, but he's my uncle. We used to get up late at night when everybody was asleep and go watch HBO on shows we shouldn't be watching.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And so what we would do, the upstairs had a door. We would close the door. So if anybody came down, we can cut the TV off and play sleep.
Because nobody will see that light under the door.
Nope.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, let me tell you about Porky's. When I heard about that movie when I was a kid, and to give you an idea of how built up it was in my head, I had it on like porn level type movie from what I heard. And then when I finally got, I didn't see it till I was like 18, 19 years old. And when I watched it, I'm like, it's a funny movie, but this isn't like, this is tame. Of course, it was, almost 20 years after the fact I saw the movie.
Chaos in the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
But Kurt, I was about to say, Kurt, I told you my story. There's a reason why I didn't eat lima beans for a long time.
Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs. And Hulk and Mr. T just won the match.
Yep.
Damn.
But, man, watching this match the other day, like I said, I indulged in some adult proclivities, and that probably enhanced what I was enjoying about the match. But it's just... to look at this, man, and Adam talked about it earlier when we were trying to find Kurt, but it's just... Like to have 19,000 people eating out of your hand, and
imagine being escorted out by the police.
He just patted him on the ass.
Just imagine being escorted out by the police, like the real police, and that's the NYPD.
Yep.
I'll get you, brother. You better get out of this ring, brother. I'll hurt you,
man,
brother. Muhammad Ali's over there ready to just knock the shit out of somebody.
He want to knock somebody out. Really wants, but I think this is when Muhammad Ali started getting sick, right?
You're starting to see some signs of it, but
I think it was a while.
And the reason I say that is just at times he would have just like this blank look on his face,
right? But no, but man, Ali want to knock somebody out. He been trying to knock somebody out the whole match.
Yeah,
can I hit him?
Because he almost got Orndo. Not Orndo. He almost got Orton. And that,
yeah.
Like, legitimately, he almost got him.
Can I hit him, Pat? I want to hit him.
Mm-hmm. I think just, you know, just based on stuff that I heard, I think that he really did want to knock somebody else. Yep. He ready. He's still ready.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Muhammad, look, Muhammad Ali was ready all the way to the day he died.
Man, did y'all see?
He was ready.
Let me see how much time we got in this show.
We got about 11 minutes.
Well, I mean, our show. It's an hour and 53 minutes, so we got about 7 minutes here to wrap up.
Oh, okay.
Time. There goes the pose.
Yeah, yep.
Brother. And that's it, folks. And they go off the air. They came on the air.
That's that shot they use on Saturday night's main event.
Not on the network, but on the actual show, they came on the air to an instrumental of Phil Collins' Easy Lover, which I don't know how that goes with wrestling, but
it's a great song.
They went off the air with the theme from Beverly Hills Cop. All right, folks, we're going to get ready to wrap it up here. Adam, we want to thank you for joining us, man. As always, your insight, and I'm not kissing your ass, your insight is always spot on, man, so we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys.
I want to thank.
When is the next show?
420, baby.
420. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
I'm gonna do my due diligence to make sure I have that Saturday blocked out. Because I really want to go. Now, I didn't realize I was as close to Monroe as I was.
Yeah, you kind of got to Google where Monroe's at because not everybody knows. You'd be like, I've heard of Monroe, but I don't know where it is. You know, that kind of thing. So, yep.
So before I turn it over to Adam, give some final thoughts before he gets out of here and a chance to plug that 420 show, I just want to let everybody know, because WrestleMania is next week, we will be doing a special pre-show, not pre-show, but a prediction show on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And then our post-WrestleMania show will have a special Tuesday edition of the Wrestling With My Thoughts podcast to talk about everything that has gone on at that point after WrestleMania. And that will also be at 8 p.m. We'll put up reminders. I just want to let you guys know here on the show before we get out of here. With that being said, Adam, I'm turning it over to you to give some final thoughts and to plug that 420 show.
I'm going to miss the WrestleMania prediction show, but I think that somehow Rock and Roman have an issue during the tag match, and that leads to Rock turning on Roman and Cody winning the title. So I think that's what's going to happen there. I think that you're going to have a cash in from Damian after the Seth Rollins match. That makes sense there. You can see all of Mr. T's homeboys and homegirls. They had no seats. So all that good stuff there. So, but yeah, 420, we're going to have a great matchup. Judas, and Adrian Hawkins for the Southern Fried Heavyweight Championship. Among others, I do not have the card in front of me right now. So, but Southern Fried Championship Wrestling on Facebook, you'll see the event there. Gonna be a great show. Looking forward to that. We are on the road to Shindig, which is our version of WrestleMania in June. And so, everything's leading to that right now. There's no sign to point to, but all signs point to Monroe in June. So we'll talk to you guys later. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care, man.
Y'all have a good night. Replace your smoke alarm batteries, y'all.
Yeah. Make sure you check and replace all your smoke alarm batteries.
And spay and neuter your pets.
This has been The Price is Right.
Help control the pet population.
All right. All right. Sad Bob Barker.
Brandon, what do you got to say to the folks before we get out of here?
Hey, good night, y'all. I'm going to sleep.
Short, sweet, and to the point.
I want to sleep.
All right, Kurt, what do you got to say to folks before we get up out of here?
Enjoy this spring break, y'all, and we'll talk to y'all on Thursday. Have a good week.
Yes, I echo everything my brothers just said. Thank you guys once again for joining us. BP, please join us. Our regular shows are Sunday at 7:05 p.m. Eastern Time. So please feel free to join us and check us out on Facebook. It's the Wrestling With My Thoughts podcast. We have a group and a page. Check us out on Instagram at WWMT_podcast. We need and we want more interaction on those social media pages. And we would appreciate it if you could give us a like, give us a rating, all of that good stuff. Thank you for following, BP. I appreciate that. Hill Club, I want to, if Hill Club doesn't mind, I want to ask everybody just to keep Hill Club in your thoughts. I'm not going any further. Just keep him in your thoughts. And he's a great,
for sure will.
He's a great fan. Always here, always commenting, and we appreciate that support. So let's give him some support right back.
Hey, much love, Hill Club, man. Much love to you, bro.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. We're going to get up out of here, and we will talk to you, easy for me to say, we will talk to you on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our WrestleMania 40 prediction show. Kurt, if you would do us the honors of sending us out of here.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.